It's fantasy football time on Patriots.com with the fantasy football champs.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Dominate your league with the guys from FFChamps.com.
Three, throwing, back in the end zone, leaping, grab, touchdown!
Bill Enright and Anthony Grace are the fantasy football champs.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings. I am Bill Enright. With me, as always, is Anthony Grace. He's the PPR monster. And our producer, the youth of America, looks up to him. That's Kevin Collins taking your phone calls at 855-728-7500. Pushing all the buttons forward and along your emails, webradio at patriots.com. We're wrapping up Week 12. We're looking forward to Week 13. It is Thanksgiving week. Three games on Thursday, so we have a little bit of a hybrid show today. We're going to go over some of the action from this past weekend. We're going to look ahead to some of the action this upcoming weekend. It's always a lot of fun on the Fantasy Football Champs. And, Anthony, we got to get things started fast and in a fury here today.
Yeah, fast and furious today, Bill. Huge show. One day this week, a huge lineup of games on Thanksgiving, more than a normal Thursday, obviously. So we got to dive right into it and answer some questions for these people to get them set up.
A lot of ways you can get in touch with us. If you can't call in live, you can always hit us up on Twitter all week. We'll be answering your lineup questions, waiver wire questions, at FFChamps, at Bill Enright, at the PPR Monster. Today's show, we're going to do a waiver wire segment. We're going to go over some of the injuries from Week 12. And, of course, we'll be taking your start and sit questions. The Week 13 rankings are already up on FFChamps.com, so you can check those out. And as I should mention, you can always get the free offer to FFChamps, ffchamps.com/million, gets you the free subscription, which is, I mean, the time of year, it's a smart way to take advantage of this offer because you'll want the rankings for the playoffs. I mean, it's probably one of the most important times of year.
This is, outside of having a solid draft in the beginning of the year, this is the most important time of the year, getting yourself into the playoffs and positioning yourself for a solid playoff run, maybe getting that bye if your league offers a bye week, which is also just a key thing to have.
Speaking of the bye weeks, no more bye weeks.
No, thank God. That's over with. We got everyone's full strength the rest of the way, which is great news for anybody who was feeling a little hurt the last couple of weeks with, you know, six teams on a bye, had four teams a couple weeks ago. Last week, Pittsburgh has some big pieces missing, Kelvin Benjamin, Greg Olsen. Yep. So the last couple of weeks were tough for bye weeks, but we're through it now, so we're good to go. If you're still poised to make the playoffs in this last week, let's do it. Let's get into playoffs.
It was weird. I was doing the rankings today. I was like, oh, wow, this guy is really low. And then I was really, and I was like, oh, well, all 32 teams are in action today, so the player pool is probably the most since it's been since week three.
Yeah, we've had a bye week every week since week four, at least one team on a bye, or two teams on a bye. So, yeah, now we're actually at the meat. This is great. I love it. I'm so glad when every single team is playing because it just makes it more exciting for everybody. Everybody's got their studs ready to go, locked and loaded, so we got to do it.
Number here is 855-728-7500. Call in with your waiver wire questions, your start sit questions. Email us webradio at patriots.com. Since this is the only show of the week, should we do the primetime pick 'em at the end of the show?
We're going to have to. We don't have a choice.
Good deal?
I'd say we have no choice.
I mean, we got to do all three Thanksgiving games?
All three Thanksgiving?
No, we have to. There's no doubt. To.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Good.
We got five pick'ems this week. Three Thanksgiving, a Sunday, and a Monday.
You teased that last week. We cannot pay it off.
All right. So primetime pick 'em, waiver wire report, injury report. Let's recap. That's all coming up in a little bit. Let's recap some of the Week 12 action. First,
you know what else we have to do, Bill?
What's that?
We have to give out the quick recipe for Wild Bill's Fire Cider again, like last year.
Wild Bill's Fire Cider, coming in hard. We'll get to that a little bit later. I forgot all about that.
Yeah, Kevin. we got to give that out for the end of the show so everybody can try it out.
People love it.
Yeah, I loved it last year. I know a lot of my friends have been bugging me for the recipe, and I told them to tune into the show today.
Now, I am not responsible for the pending European ban of Fireball whiskey. That's the FDA's problem, so I'll leave that up to them. As long as it's on the shelves, I'm still going to be recommending it.
I'm with you.
All right.
So we'll what if that. You can remove paint with it?
We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. We do want to say our well wishes and get better soon to Chief Safety Eric Berry, undergoing tests because they fear he has lymphoma. So that's kind of serious. He was put on the non-football injury list this week.
Yeah, sad story for a guy, a huge prospect coming out of college, playing really well with the Chiefs since he came into the league, a guy who's not out there making trouble. So a real sad situation to see. So obviously our prayers go out to him and his family for him to get better as soon as he can.
All right, as we're broadcasting live on Patriots.com radio, I think we should start off with that Pats and Lions game. Mm-hmm. Has any team really have just taken down one after the other opposing division leaders? I mean, the Patriots are on a tear right now.
Yeah.
An absolute tear.
Unbelievable.
Broncos, Colts, Lions, they're just chainsawing down teams.
Yeah, they're mowing through them like it's nothing. So that is, if you're in the AFC, any contenders in the AFC, that is going to be a tough test. If the New England Patriots get home field advantage throughout the playoffs, it's hard to imagine another team representing the AFC in the Super Bowl.
Brady had a good game. Tim Wright had a good game. Gronk played okay. Julian Edelman played okay. I think I got a text message, or I think I got a tweet from Kevin about LeGarrette Blount busting my chops. 12 carries, 78 yards, 2 touchdowns. Now, we know what happens with the Patriots running backs. Jonas Gray had 200 yards and 4 touchdowns a week ago. Didn't get a single snap this week. And we warned people about Jonas Gray. So, Kevin, I'm going to throw the ball in your court here. What do you expect from LeGarrette Blount the rest of the season?
He's going to be the featured back.
Featured back over Shane Vereen, over Jonas Gray.
Yep.
Now, what does featured back mean to you?
It means he's going to touch the ball. In terms of running the ball, I'm not talking about receptions. He's going to get the most carries out of any of those three backs the rest
and
of the way.
What are those carries going to equate to on a weekly basis? Give me some projections here.
I'd say, like any back, it probably depends on the way the game's going. Mm-hmm. But I would say you could probably bank on, I don't know, somewhere around like 15 carries a game for him.
This week he had 12 for 78 and 2 touchdowns.
And 2 touchdowns. Now, not bad fantasy-wise.
Take away those 2 touchdowns. What does he get you?
12 for 78. That's probably like 7 points.
Is that starter worthy?
Not necessarily, no.
No.
But I'd say he's in the consideration for like a flex play. Yeah.
Flex zone.
Yeah.
All right. As long as we're on the same page with LeGarrette Blount, because we warned everyone about.
But
George
I think
Gray.
I don't think it's fair to just say like last week that he's like irrelevant in fantasy. I don't think that's a fair statement.
Listen, this is what's going to end up happening. And you just Kevin, you have to realize you're on the sidelines every week. Sometimes it's Stephen Ridley. Sometimes it's Shane Vereen. Sometimes it's Jonas Gray. Last week it was LeGarrette Blount. Who is to say next weekend that Brady's not going to pass 5 times on the 5-yard line instead of handing the ball off to LeGarrette Blount? You just never know with the Pats.
No, it's a fair point, but I don't think you can just write him off and say, like, you know, I don't think you could say any tailback on any team that is like the lead tailback that's going to get the most touches. I don't think you can say that they're not, you know, valuable in a fantasy league.
I think there's plenty of examples like that.
Really, like who? Like Crowell or
no?
Whoever?
Crowell's no. Awesome.
Then who else?
D'Angelo Williams.
Is he the feature back?
I mean, who else would be there?
So they say. Charles
so they Stewart? Say. I guess that team's terrible.
That's one.
Yeah.
You want another one?
Sure. Give me 3.
Give you 3. All right. Well, I'm going to go with D'Angelo Williams
you said him.
Panthers. I'm going to go with Steven Jackson on the Falcons. I'm going to go with Bishop Sankey on the Titans.
Ooh, I don't know if I agree with that. Ant, you with me on that?
The Bishop Sankey
factor? You hate Bishop Sankey?
Man, he's underperforming from what we really expected out of him. I don't want to say I hate him, but
Darren McFadden on the Raiders.
I'm down on him.
These are all my boys, Bill.
What about Jerick McKinnon in Minnesota after
Jerick
he
McKinnon
got announced
Minnesota.
Last 3 weeks?
Right,
he's not doing anything.
So let's put another quantifier in there. Can I at least say that the lead tailback that's going to get, like, we'll say the most, you know, the bulk of the workload out of the backfield on a team that, you know, is won 7 or 8 games in a row or whatever the hell it is now, and is an offensive machine.
Here's your that's it right there.
You know what I mean? That's going to put up 30 to 40 points a week.
In the league.
You know what I mean? They're going to be in the red zone a lot.
That's the thing. He has the opportunity on the goal line. It's certainly there for him. LeGarrette Blount has opportunity inside the red zone. That you love.
Yeah.
You love the potential.
Because you know the Patriots are going to at least get it down there probably a half dozen times a game.
But that's also the same thing that can burn you. Because when it comes to the Pats, you don't know. Maybe Brady just steps back on a one step drop back and just throws a little dump off to Gronk inside the 5 yard line.
No, they do that a lot.
Throws a little slant to Edelman. Oh, it happens with them.
No, I'm with you. Like you said, watching a lot of football and watching this team play.
Yeah.
Most of the time, Bill, when they get the ball, I'll say inside at the 3 yard line or inside. The majority of the time, unless they're up by 2 or 3 scores at the end of the game, you're looking at play action fake in Tim Wright and Gronk. That's what you're looking at.
Yeah.
So,
and you know what? Another team that's like that, and it's a team that the Pats are playing this week.
Rodgers!
Aaron Rodgers with Eddie Lacy.
Yeah, because I'm an Eddie Lacy owner. And a lot of his touchdowns have come off reception touchdowns this year.
Exactly. Because when they get inside the 5 yard line, he's throwing the ball to Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson.
Yeah.
Just this past weekend did Eddie Lacy get a few goal line runs. So that's why. Yeah, now, Eddie Lacy, I mean, he's in a top tier compared to LeGarrette Blount. But I'm just saying that the opportunity is both a blessing and a curse when it comes to the pass backfield.
So he had, I think I looked real quick in the ESPN, like, standard league or whatever. Yeah. He had 19 points this week or whatever it was, which is a good day.
Solid.
I'm going to say.
Take away the two touchdowns, he has 7
points. All right, so I'm going to say, so we have, let's see, what do we have left, Bill? We have Green Bay, San Diego, Miami, the Jets, and the Bills. We got 5 games left.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm gonna say if you include this past week, which was the first game, 6 games. Okay, we're gonna look at the LeGarrette Blount New England regular season experiment here. 6
yes.
games. All right, a third of a season, or just a third of a season, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say that over these 6 games, he averages.
Speak my language. Talk fantasy points.
Yeah, 12 fantasy points a game. That's
he
what
averages
I'm gonna say.
12.
Yep, that's what I'm going to say.
I think that's a little high.
Okay, no, I'm totally that you're totally welcome to have your own opinion. I'm trying to quantify it. You know what I mean? So that I can kind of put a value on like what I think he's going to be. I could be completely wrong, and I'll admit if I'm wrong. But I went out on that limb a little bit last week, and I got slapped down, and he had a good first week. So we'll see what happens.
That's not why you got slapped down. Don't get it twisted. You got slapped down because you didn't pick his ass up when you had the opportunity to pick him up.
The man is trying to keep me down here, Ant. The man is just get his foot on me, you know?
The man is trying
right
to uplift you.
The man was
tweeting at all this venom and hated me, and I was just like, oh my god, he's saying I don't even know my own team and all these terrible things.
The man is trying to remind you that fantasy football, you have to be ruthless and cutthroat and go for the jugular.
I had tears streaming down my cheeks this morning reading those tweets. I'm driving it. My car got towed this morning, first of all.
No, why?
$160 to get my own damn car back.
What?
Wait. You parked in an illegal area?
No, I parked in a lot that you need to be out by like 7 o'clock in the morning, like a school. And I was there at 7:02. Like I got, my girlfriend dropped me off like she does every morning. I stay at her house, and it's 7:02. I'm looking at my cell phone, and my car's gone. I was like, "You towed my car that quickly? That's impressive. I'm not even mad.
That's ridiculous."
But
that's
efficient. Like, "Yeah." I was just like, "So she wouldn't be late to work. I had to take a cab. That was a $40 cab ride to pay $160." To get my car back.
Just a regular cab.
Just a regular cab. And it was just like, so I've spent $200 before I brushed my teeth this morning. And it's like, God, jeez Louise. And then I'm reading all this hatred on Twitter about how I don't even know anything about football and I'm useless and I should just not come into work today.
I was more mad that you didn't pick up LeGarrette Blount because you wanted to be fair than your prediction on LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah.
That's what I was mad at.
You know what fair gets you? You know what being fair gets you? Your car towed is what it apparently happens.
Exactly.
Nothing good happens to good people anymore, Bill. It's terrible.
All right, so LeGarrette Blount, somewhere in the range, I'm going to give him 7 fantasy.
All right, you're
going
to go with 7. Ant, what are you going with?
Yeah, I was going to say anywhere in that 8 to 9 range, I was thinking.
All right, so I'm out on a limb. I'm on my own. I understand that. And
you're a little bit higher.
No, but we can revisit this as we go.
I think the 7 to 12 range is right in his wheelhouse.
And if I'm wrong, I'll gladly take a bow and admit that I'm wrong and take the beating, and I'm totally cool with that. But I'm just, when they made the move, I got this inkling. Like, I was like, okay, I think this guy's going to be the guy that gets, Jonas Gray is, I think, still going to see the ball from time to time, but I think Blount's going to get most of the touches. And I think he's going to do something with him. But we'll see what happens. No, I did not. Because I'm a gentleman and a scholar. Who's now poor and has to try to go like work on Thanksgiving and like ring a bell on the side of the street to make my $200 back. Just ridiculous.
All right, so from one crowded backfield in New England, let's go to the other crowded backfield in the NFL. That's in Cincinnati. Giovanni Bernard returned to action. Jeremy Hill and Gio both had 19 touches. Hill had 86 yards and a touchdown, one catch for 9 yards. Giovanni Bernard had about 45 yards on the ground and two catches for 22 yards. If you're in a PPR league, we kind of said Gio's still the guy. He had more catches, but Hill was the guy with more yardage on the ground, and he had the end zone run.
Yeah. I again, another crowded backfield. A little more, I don't want to say skill. I don't think skill is the right word to use here, but guys you can use more. I think the whole New England situation, Blunt's going to get his touches, but if Jonas Gray makes practice on Friday, he's going to see the ball. It's a Bill Belichick-type punishment. We know how he is. So, Jeremy Hill, like we said last week when we knew Gio was coming back, Jeremy Hill's going to get his touches. He showed when Gio was down that he can work the backfield, hit hard, take the full load. He can take 20-plus carries a game and still get up and keep going and rush for 150 yards. So Gio's back, but Jeremy Hill is going to keep touching the ball. So don't be shocked if Jeremy Hill outscores Gio the rest of the way fantasy points-wise. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Sticking in the AFC North, Giovanni Bernard's back, and guess who else was back? Our boy, Josh Gordon,
JG,
back in action for the Cleveland Browns.
I'll tell you what, man, he posted me a 20-burger in a PPR league, and he didn't even look like he was that in sync with Brian Hoyer. Missed that touchdown catch, another pick Brian Hoyer threw in Josh Gordon's direction when they looked like they were not on the same page. So once these two get on the same page in the next week or two in the playoffs, Josh Gordon is going to be a dangerous weapon.
I think it was 8th this week in yards.
Yeah, for your first game back, I'm going to say 120 yards is not a bad day.
7th. So he was 7th. No touchdown, but he still had 8 catches for 120 yards.
Awesome.
So hopefully everyone listened to us. We said it's going to be worth holding on to Josh Gordon because he's going to come back right in time for your playoff run, your playoff push, your fantasy championships, and it looks like we're right on the money with that prediction.
Yeah, he's going to be just fine. I know he's got a couple games that aren't going to be as soft as the Atlanta Falcons, but he's got the talent. He's a stud. That's all there is to it. He's a stud, and what do we say? You don't sit your studs. He may have only played one game, but 20 points in your first game out is not bad at all for a little taste of things to come.
Another stud wide receiver, Denver Broncos receiver Demaryius Thomas with 3 touchdowns this weekend. You know, Anthony, you and I, we said Demaryius is going to be our number one wide receiver this year. We'd take him over Calvin Johnson. We're taking him over Brandon Marshall, A.J. Green, Julio Jones, Dez Bryant, and he's coming through in a big way.
Yeah, he's looking to prove us right, which is what we like, but he is just a boy amongst men, or a man amongst boys out there, It looks like, half the time. So he, no Julius Thomas, obviously, I think helped him out a little bit, but even with Julius coming back, it's just a guy every single week he can do what he just did. He can go for 103 touchdowns every single week, no matter who his opponent is. So we loved Demaryius Thomas. We loved him since day one, even after those first 3 games when he was playing a little bit down. Since that time, he's averaging a touchdown a game, and he has 1 game under 100 yards and no games under 7 catches since his bye week. So he is just an absolute beast.
His teammate Emmanuel Sanders, another big night day, 9 catches, 125 yards. Let's move over to a rookie wide receiver, Odell Beckham Jr. You probably saw the highlight over and over and over and over again. One of the best catches you'll ever see. 10 catches
ever
for him, 146 yards, and 2 touchdowns. But the Giants lose to the Cowboys, which sets up a big NFC East battle on Thanksgiving, Cowboys and Eagles in a fight for first place.
Yeah, this whole Thanksgiving slate of games, I don't know. This might be the first time that we've seen 3 games that all have playoff implications for every single team. Like you said, you got first place in the NFC East on the line in Dallas in the afternoon. First game, Chicago with Detroit. Detroit's lost 2 in a row now to 2 division-leading teams coming home. They have to get a win to keep up with the Packers and maintain that wild card position they got. The Bears, 2 in a row, won 2 in a row, so now they got a shot if they beat Detroit to sneak in at a wild card. And that late game is the best rivalry right now in football, San Francisco at Seattle. Both tied for 2nd in the NFC West, and I wouldn't be shocked if whoever wins this game ends up winning that division, because I just don't see Arizona maintaining what they did when Carson Palmer was playing.
Yeah, but Arizona has a really good matchup this weekend against Atlanta.
They do, and this is their one soft matchup, Arizona. They have to win this game. Traveling across country, playing at one, it's going to be tough, so they have to win this game to keep pace. If they lose this game, whoever wins this San Francisco-Seattle game, I think, has the division almost locked down, because They have a tough road, Arizona, all division games, I believe, after this, if I'm not mistaken.
And you know what's funny? Atlanta actually has to win that game, too. Because...
yeah, to maintain their 4-7 record to win the division, whatever the hell
that
is.
It's crazy.
My God. If we just win our fourth game of the year, we're still going to be in first place, guys. Yeah. It's week 13. Come on. So, yeah, you know, they do have to win. Like you said, it's important for them, too. But, God, that division is so sad. I just can't talk about it.
All right, I'm going to switch up the Tuesday topic of thought here a little bit. You bring up Odell Beckham Jr. in our notes. Instead of just looking forward to next year, let's just finish out this year. Which rookie is going to be the rookie of the year?
Offensive rookie of the year. Wow, that is... it's got to be one of these wide receivers, obviously.
We're discrediting all the running backs.
Yeah, there's no running backs that are going to win that award. And quarterbacks, I mean, I know Derek Carr is looking semi-decent. I like him a lot coming in next year. He's a very, very good sleeper. He looked real nice on Thursday. He's the kind of guy that can lead a team. But one of these wide receivers has to win Rookie of the Year.
Sammy Watkins, Odell Beckham Jr., Calvin Benjamin, Brandon Cooks now on IR, Jordan Matthews, Mike Evans, am I leaving anyone out? John Brown from the Cardinals?
John Brown, another good rookie. He's not going to be a Rookie of the Year candidate, I don't think. But I love ODB. I like what I'm seeing out of him. I think moving forward next year, he's probably your best pick as a rookie wide receiver. Just I like what he's doing the most. But missing those first, 6 or 7 games, yeah, I think it's going to hurt him in the voting. Yep. So yep. If one of these guys wins it, I want to say Kelvin Benjamin's been the most consistent.
Oh, okay.
I would take him out of these 6 wide receivers we just listed.
Mike Evans certainly putting it on as of late. Sammy Watkins had a really hot middle of the season but cooled down in the last couple of games. I'm guessing that groin injury has something to do with that.
Yeah, it definitely slows him down a little bit. So ODB and Benji have been the best two guys, and obviously Evans have turned it on recently, but... ODB and Kelvin Benjamin have been doing it consistently since they've been playing, so I like those two the best. But like you said, Evans, if he puts up 100 every week and a touchdown the rest of the way, who knows? He's going to be in the conversation as well.
All right, let's move over to the injury report, recap some of the guys that went down this past weekend. Start off at the quarterback spot, Ryan Mallett is out for the year with a torn pectoral muscle. The Patriots just traded him to the Texans a few weeks ago. He immediately took over the starting job as the Texans were heading into their bye week. Looked good for the two games that he was out there, but now that he's going on IR, that means Ryan Fitzpatrick will be back under center for the Houston Texans. What do you think this does for guys like DeAndre Hopkins, Andre Johnson, Arian Foster, Alfred Blue?
Yeah, I liked what I saw out of Ryan Mallett. I know he was a guy, didn't see any real playing time. NFL regular season up until this point, but I liked what I saw of him. He was playing well in these first two games, consistently enough for the Texans to either obviously win in Cleveland and have a chance against Cincinnati. So Ryan Fitzpatrick obviously is going to be a little bit of a step back, and whoever's that running back, Blue or Foster, when he's healthy, is going to get, I think, more touches because they need to rely on that run game.
All right, moving over to the running back spot, Ryan Matthews of the San Diego Chargers left the game with a shoulder injury. He was able to return, and I believe, did he have over 100 yards this weekend?
I think he did. If I'm not mistaken, he had a touch over 100, so he came back into that game. I know he was on the sideline for a little bit, and Ryan Matthews is one of those guys that you're obviously always worried about with his injury history. So anytime you see him on the sideline getting anything checked out, you're never 100% confident with him coming back, but... he did look good, and, he's another guy. He's going to be fine down the stretch run, a good running back on a high-powered offense team. Well, yep. not of late, but the San Diego Chargers, again, that's one of those teams that can go and score 35, 40 points in a game, and like it's nothing, and you wouldn't even be surprised.
Matthews had 105 yards and one touchdown against the Rams this past weekend. Another running back that went down in Week 12, you have to remember back to last Thursday's game, that's Latavius Murray of the Oakland Raiders. Busted out for one of the longest plays of the year, a 90-yard touchdown. He also scored earlier in the game as the Oakland Raiders got their first win of the season over the Kansas City Chiefs. That was last Thursday. But Murray left the game with a concussion. Now, I think a lot of people are going to be on the Murray bandwagon trying to pick him up this week. This is the first concussion, you know, of his career. I'm not really going crazy to grab a guy on the Oakland Raiders, especially now that it's almost fantasy football postseason.
Yeah, a guy you're probably not going to be able to trust in your fantasy football postseason. If you're making the playoffs, odds are your team is pretty much set on how you like it right now. If you're fighting to get in there, I don't blame someone if you got a mid to late waiver wire pickup using a pickup on someone like this who showed potential, but I mean, four carries for 112 yards and that touchdown. He looked unreal in that game, and if he plays that whole game, the Raiders don't, or the Chiefs don't come back and make it that close, I don't think, because he was on fire, and he's the running back of the future for the Oakland Raiders, that's for sure.
Reggie Bush was not able to play against the Pats this past weekend, but he says he'll be ready for the Thanksgiving game against the Bears in week 13 on Thursday. Moving over to wide receiver, not a lot here. Cordarrelle Patterson of the Vikings left with an ankle and a knee injury. And the backup, Charles Johnson, he's been coming up big with back-to-back games with some decent fantasy production.
Yeah, Charles Johnson seems to be the go-to look for Teddy Bridgewater of late. It looked to Greg Jennings in the beginning when he started playing, and now Charles Johnson is definitely showing he's got a nice connection with Teddy Bridgewater there.
At the tight end spot, Julius Thomas wasn't able to play against the Dolphins, but Denver Post reporters are saying that Thomas has a chance to return this Sunday. So we'll see if Julius Thomas, remember, it's going to be tough because he's playing on that Sunday night late game. And with three games on Thursday, it's going to be slim pickings for waiver wire on Sunday morning if you're risking going with Julius Thomas. Obviously, you can't rely on Jacob Tammy, even though he's considered the Broncos tight end backup. Because Tammy, if you're in a PPR league, he had one catch for negative yards this past weekend.
Yeah, it's tough. Like you said, it's a Sunday night game. Monday night, you got the Dolphins and the Jets, so another group, Charles Clay, who's still on injury watch, too.
Yep,
no one great on the Jets, Jason Morrow, so maybe in a PPR league he's worth taking a shot at if you have a Julius Thomas. But, yeah, outside of that, you got two extra games on Thursday, which is going to hurt a lot of people waiting to hear what happens with some studs like Julius Thomas, who we don't know 100%, and that's a big game. Sunday night in Kansas City with potentially first place and the AFC West on the line out there. Kansas City's going to come out fired up after losing to Oakland.
And then the other tight end news is Jordan Cameron. Looks like he's going to be able to play as the Cleveland Browns take on. Who are the Browns playing this weekend? I always forget this.
We got Cleveland is taking on the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo.
Buffalo Bills, yes.
So we'll see what happens there.
But Jordan Cameron, there was time when they were thinking about putting Jordan Cameron on IR. But apparently he's trying in the right direction here.
Yeah, it was like a week ago. What? A week and a half ago, he might go to IR, and now he's back. So, you know, hey, when you see what Josh Gordon added to that team, I think having a tight end like Jordan Cameron come back, even if he's not 100%, team's got a key in on Josh Gordon now, so that'll only help open up the middle of the field for Jordan Cameron.
I should have mentioned earlier when we were talking about the quarterbacks that Mike Vick did go down and out of the game on Monday night, and Geno Smith came in, but Rex Ryan says that He's expecting Vic to be okay for their Monday night matchup against the Dolphins. How about the Jets? Two back-to-back weeks of Monday night football. Now, obviously, the Buffalo situation with the snowstorm
right.
put them on Monday night because they were playing in Detroit. They weren't scheduled to be on Monday night, but you know, technically, we are getting the New York Jets back-to-back weeks on Monday night football here.
Yeah, that's awkward. I don't know how I feel about that. It's like having the Oakland Raiders on back-to-back nights or Jacksonville. It's something you don't really want to see, but it's a division matchup, so I guess you never really know what could happen. Something interesting could come out of it, but the Dolphins are in the playoff hunt, so at least that makes it exciting on one end. A team has a chance to make a little bit of noise and get a little bit closer to making the playoffs.
Now, what did you think about the Monday night doubleheader? We had the Saints and the Ravens and then the Jets and the Bills beforehand. I liked the two games on Monday night. They do it in week one.
Yeah, I'm always in with two games on Monday night. Now, you're not going to hear me complain about that, but that New Orleans-Baltimore game, that was a great watch.
Yes.
Justin Forsett just went absolutely bananas on them. Little scuffle on the sideline with Steve Smith and Kenny Vaccaro. They got into it a little bit. Ice up. What did he say this time? Something about if I take your lunch money, I'm going to look you in your eye. So,
yeah.
Steve Smith, man, I love that guy. If he's not good for a catch in a game, he's good for a quote at the end. So
that's right.
That game was just super entertaining. And the New Orleans Saints, they're not the same team that we're used to seeing.
No, not even close.
I don't know what it is, what happened. I mean, Jarris Bird, their big free agent acquisition going down, might have hurt a little bit. But outside of that, no excuses.
They went from never losing at home or rarely ever losing at home to losing three in a row.
Yeah, three in a row. Under Sean Payton and Drew Brees, that never has happened. So history being made in a negative light for the New Orleans Saints last night.
Would you rather have two games on Monday night or one game on Thursday and one game on Monday?
I'd rather keep it 1-1. I like to have that Thursday game. I know we're not huge fans of it, and a lot of times the matchups aren't the greatest, but it's another day of football, and and I love that, so I'm definitely okay with that.
I think that's why. I think that's where I'm at too with that that little debate. I'd rather have the extra day of football than everything's stacked up together. But I feel like take a game away from the Sunday action, put it on Monday night.
I'm okay with that. I would love to have another flex schedule where you can kind of move a game from maybe a late Sunday into a Monday, because there's a lot of matchups that should be primetime matchups. I mean, New England and Green Bay should be on a Monday or Sunday night this week. It's just there's nowhere to put them, obviously. I mean, I wish you could flip-flop that with the Jets and the Dolphins, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, that would be a good point. Flex the Monday night game.
That would be extremely interesting. I mean, what's the difference if you move a 1 o'clock game to 8:15 or 8:30 that night, or say, all right, it's happening the next day? I mean, butts are going to be in seats. I know that's what they're worried about, but the tickets are sold. You already got paid if you're an owner of the NFL, so what's the difference? If someone who has the tickets for a Sunday can't make it on a Monday, they're going to find a way to get to somebody who can get in there. So I would totally be on board with flexing into a Monday night.
I just feel like they want certain teams to have at least some kind of primetime exposure.
Yeah, and I understand that every team, they try to get in there, but you can't. Nobody wants to watch Jacksonville play, even if they're playing the Colts. I mean, great, the Colts are fun to watch, but you really want to see a team lose 45-6 on a Monday night? Like, it's not fun. So
855-728-7500 is the phone number. Send us your emails, webradio@patriots.com. We're taking the first call of the day. That's Kyle in New Jersey. He's in a 12-team PPR league. Hey, Kyle.
How are you guys doing?
What's going on, man?
I got a quick question here. I made it to the playoffs, so I want to say, definitely you guys helped me out with everything. And looks good. Things are looking good, the way they're setting up. But it's the quarterback situation. I got the three that I have a choice between is Eli at Tennessee, Dalton at home against Pittsburgh, or McCown at Detroit.
Eli is playing Jacksonville this weekend.
Yeah, well, the first round of playoffs.
Oh, so we're looking at week 14?
It's too early.
Are you looking at week 14?
Yeah, yeah.
Is Ryan Tannehill available?
I don't think he's available.
All right, so say it again. Eli, so week 14.
So it's Eli at Tennessee, mm-hmm. Dalton home against Pittsburgh, or McCown at Tennessee. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm account at Detroit, sorry.
Tennessee's taking on two teams, that's crazy. we'll probably go with Dalton 1, Eli 2, McCown 3. But, I mean, I just did my rankings for week 13, they're all done, but week 14, that's a little bit ahead of the game.
Yeah, because I was just trying to just set it up a little bit. I know it's a little bit ahead, but I'm just trying to set up a little bit just in case. But I know that they were saying even Mettenberger, is a possibility with his schedule.
I wouldn't rely on that.
No.
No.
Okay.
No. Go with good offenses. Go with good weapons. Don't rely on a guy that's going to get a lot of garbage time points.
Do you believe in Eli at all in the nicer weather in Tennessee?
I mean, is the weather nice in Tennessee?
Well, I guess a little bit nicer.
Nicer than Buffalo.
I'm supposed to be going to that game. One of my best friends is in the Special Forces, and he bought like 10 tickets for all my friends to fly down there, and everyone's going on Thursday, and they're flying back Sunday night, and I can't go because, one, we have the radio show on Thursday, and then Sunday I work. So I'm very, very depressed that I'm not going to be able – they're calling it Nash Vegas because everyone's going to be going nuts like it's Las Vegas in Nashville. Very depressed about it. So now that you're bringing this up, Eli Manning against Tennessee,
I apologize, man,
you're really going to put me in a bad mood the rest of the show. It's all going to be Ryan from New Jersey's fault. Kyle from New Jersey. I'm sorry.
I'll stick with the Dalton, and you should still go to Tennessee.
Yeah. All right, Kyle. We appreciate.
Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah, I love any kind of road trip.
Nash Vegas. I love it.
And it's not my home friends. My home friends are a little bit more mature, a little bit more grown up. Most of them have significant others. My fraternity brothers, my college guys, they're still crazy, wild, immature, out of control, reckless, chaotic. Like, I don't know if I can hang with them for 5 weekends in Nash Vegas.
Yeah.
Or
five weekends.
Four,
my God.
5 weekends. No. 4 nights or you know, a four night weekend in Nashville. I'm getting a text message, hashtag Nash Vegas. It's going nuts.
It's going viral.
It's crazy. And, you know, hey, I got work to do. I got a job to do.
Yeah, Nash Vegas. It's like Las Vegas, but instead of gambling and strippers, there's barbecue and Bonnaroo. So, yeah. You know, you got to make sacrifices sometimes, but. Hey, you get a football game, you get together with your friends. I don't blame you for being a little upset for missing it, but it's not Las Vegas, so I guess that kind of eases the pain a little bit. It could be worse.
You know what? It's the first week of the fantasy playoffs. I just
gotta
can't
be home.
Do that.
Yeah,
I'm too dedicated to my profession.
I'm glued to the TV. I don't care what's going on those 3 Sundays. I mean, I'm going to be glued to my TV. I need to know what's going on. Obviously, we have teams that are going to be into the playoffs, so we have personal implications. But, you know, we're helping everybody else out there, so we got to make sure we're making some good calls to help people win a championship.
All right, what do you say we take a quick break? We'll come back with our waiver wire report and your waiver wire questions. Send them in now, webradio@patriots.com. Get on the lines, 855-728-7500. We'll be back with more Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings right here on patriots.com radio.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Domino's. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me.
at home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights, track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. Free agents, pickups, or waiver wire claims.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
The names may be different in your league, but the players are the same. The Fantasy Football Champs are here with the roster moves you should make this week.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings. Bill Enright, Anthony Grays, Kevin Collins all here helping you with your Week 13 Fantasy Football Leagues. A lot of people trying to make that push into the playoffs, trying to hold on to that first round bye. So, Anthony, don't be surprised when we get a lot of callers, get a lot of emails saying this is a must win. Must win, must win, must win, must win. You know, it's just that time of year when everything's a must win.
That's the way it is. Either you're in the playoffs and you need to get that bye, or you're trying to sneak yourself into playoffs. So, totally understand. Unless you're totally out of it or guaranteed a bye, it is a must win for everybody else, I feel like.
All right, so let's get into the waiver wire report for this week. Remember, send us your questions, webradio@patriots.com, 855-728-7500. Waiver wire, we'll do start and sit today as well, since we're not going to be around on Thanksgiving, on Thursday. So no show on Thursday. Quarterbacks, for the most part, I feel like everyone has their quarterbacks set. But maybe you had Nick Foles, and you've been, you know, playing quarterback roulette the last couple of weeks, and you've been going with Mark Sanchez, Alex Smith, maybe Eli or Drew Stanton. Maybe you had Carson Palmer, you're going with Drew Stanton. I do think Andy Dalton, Ryan Tannehill are two of the quarterbacks that are the most consistent, offer a decent amount of upside, but basically their consistency won't destroy your lineup on a given week. Like, if you're trying to rely on someone like Josh McCown or Teddy Bridgewater, like, they'll just kill you.
Yeah, it's make or break. That's not a potential for consistency, like you're saying about these other guys, the Tannehill type characters. You know, there's certain positions you need consistency from, and I think the quarterback is one of those positions. You can risk a wide receiver, running back having a boom or bust game, because more than likely they can have a long catch for 80 yards and a touchdown and it's done. But a quarterback has the potential to make the most mistakes on the field: fumbles, interceptions, turnovers. There's a lot of things that go wrong for a quarterback, so you need a guy that's at least consistent at worst.
All right, so that's kind of where we're at with the quarterbacks this week. Like, on our waiver wire report, if you're in a 14-team league, maybe you're looking at Josh McCown. Maybe you're looking at Teddy Bridgewater. Maybe you're looking at Ryan Fitzpatrick or Zach Mettenberger. But I think for the most part, Tannehill, Dalton, two guys that you can grab right now, two guys that you can use going forward, and they have pretty decent schedules.
Yeah, I totally agree. I like Tannehill a little more than Dalton the rest of the way, but if one of those two guys is available on your waiver wire, I think you got to pick them up, because those, obviously, like you said, are a lot better options than Teddy Bridgewater and Zach Mettenberger out there.
All right, let's go over to running backs. We talked about the one player earlier in the show. That's LeGarrette Blount. We're kind of in the ballpark. We're playing on the right field, but just, you know, maybe just a little bit of a difference of opinion slightly. I'm more of the train of thought where it's 7 points average fantasy points per game. Kevin's a little bit higher, 12 fantasy points a game. Anthony, you're somewhere right in the middle. We do think LeGarrette Blount is someone that you should add your waiver wire this week.
Yeah, if he's out there, obviously you want to pick him up. We know the Patriots' backfield is never going to be 100% set, no matter how good it looks 1 week. Example, you know, Jonas Gray last week, and doesn't get a snap this week. So you never know what you're getting out of that backfield. All it takes is one slip up for LeGarrette Blount. But if he's out there, you got to take a chance and pick him up, because, like we said, even if he does put up an average of 7 to 8 fantasy points a week, he has the potential to have a big game. So. Yep. If one of your starters does go down, there's a lot worse options out there that you might have to plug in there than LeGarrette Blount.
Latavius Murray, he had that big game against the Chiefs on last Thursday night. I'm not concerned about the concussion. I am concerned that he plays for the Oakland Raiders. I know a lot of people are going to be jumping on Latavius Murray this week. I'm just not going to be one of them. I do like Boom Heron from the Indianapolis Colts taking over for Ahmad Bradshaw. We know Trent Richardson is basically useless. Ineffective, not productive. Heron came in, first action, 65 yards. He also had, 5 catches for about 31 yards against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I do like Boom Heron of the Indianapolis Colts, Danny Heron, if you guys don't know his nickname from Ohio State. And then Pierre Thomas back in action for the New Orleans Saints. We know Mark Ingram doesn't catch a lot of passes. First game back for Pierre Thomas, 6 catches. So if you're in a PPR league, those are two guys that you'll want to look at. For filling in some of the running back spots. Maybe you're just trying to add some running back depth to your squad as we're heading into the final few weeks of the fantasy regular season. Wide receivers, Jarvis Landry continues to get it done for the Miami Dolphins. I believe it was 2 touchdowns this past weekend against the Denver Broncos. And how about the 2 LSU wide receivers? Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry. No wonder why Mettenberger was so good in college. He had these two guys throwing to throw to.
Yeah, who do you have? Jeremy Hill in his backfield. So
yeah, Alfred Blue.
Yeah. So the LSU Tigers, man, they're showing up in the NFL this year in their rookies. But Jarvis Landry looked unbelievable. He's obviously Ryan Tannehill's go-to guy these last couple of weeks, and I can't see that changing the rest of the way. Outside of that, the Dolphins, you know, don't have a whole lot to offer. Lamar Miller's still a little banged up. Charles Clay's banged up. But Jarvis Landry, if he's out there, a huge pickup, especially if you need wide receiver or flex depth the rest of the way.
We mentioned Charles Johnson, the Minnesota Vikings wide receiver. Cordell Patterson, a little bit banged up. Charles Johnson had 11 targets this past weekend. He only had 3 catches, but the targets were there. 11 targets, 3 receptions. That's not a really good conversion rate, is it?
That's horrible.
No,
that is horrific. That's like a 25% conversion rate, so it's not very good at all. But like you said, the major portion of that equation is getting the target. So if he hauls in twice as many as he does, if he hauls in another 6 passes in a PPR league, you're gonna have 3 more points based on receptions and probably, you know, another 20, 30, 40 yards. So if he's getting the targets, then he's obviously the guy you want out of the wide receivers in Minnesota on your team.
Malcolm Floyd from the San Diego Chargers has caught 4 passes in the last 4 games. Doesn't exactly scream fantasy relevant here, but he is consistent in that San Diego passing game. Stedman Bailey of the St. Louis Rams, he was heavily involved in their game against the Chargers, catching 5 passes, 9 targets, he had 89 yards, and he added a touchdown. I'm not going crazy to add Stedman Bailey. Any wide receivers that I'm missing here? Jarvis Landry, Charles Johnson, Malcolm Floyd, Stedman Bailey. I think that's pretty much it for the receivers. Kenny Stills at this point should be owned. John Brown at this point should be owned. I think we can move over to tight ends, where it's just another year of limited tight end talent.
It's chaos out there. Yeah, it's chaos in the tight end world. If you don't have Rob Gronkowski, Jimmy Graham, or Julius Thomas, then you're in a scramble every week. There's no one out there that's consistent enough to say you love them as an every week starter, but it's tough. It's tough for tight end owners out there like you and me, Bill. I know a couple weeks ago you said you traded for Dwayne Allen. He gets hurt, so you know you don't got a lot to roll with. We both rolled with Niles Paul this past week, and he performed horribly for us. That whole Washington offense outside of Alfred Morris doesn't look good. So tight end is a tough situation. Now, We got Tim Wright, one of these guys that we're looking to pick up off the waiver wire that we're recommending, and he's definitely touchdown dependent, but when he has a good game, I mean, he has a good game. The Lions defense was stout, and Tim Wright scored twice against them.
So Tim Wright had 6 catches, 36 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Back against the Colts, he had 2 catches for 1 touchdown.
Yeah.
2 catches, 2 yards, 1 touchdown. Didn't catch a pass against the Broncos. Had a good game against the Bears, 7 catches, 61 yards, and a touchdown. Didn't catch a pass against the Jets. Caught 1 pass against the Bills for a touchdown. Caught 5 against the Bengals for 85 yards and a touchdown. But do you risk using a guy like Tim Wright when you see his game log and you realize, wow, man, he either gets into the end zone or he doesn't even catch a pass?
Yeah, it's tough. That's one of these positions that's a boom or bust type guy. Either you're going to get absolutely nothing out of him, or you're going to get in the end zone. So it's a really, really tough move. If you don't have one of those top three, maybe Greg Olsen, another guy who's extremely solid this year, one of those four guys, then you're going to have to look to rotate tight ends in the playoffs and just play the matchups, because that's honestly going to be the best bet for people out there.
He has, how about this for a conversion rate? 23 receptions, 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's one out of every 4 catches. He's getting into the end zone. So, obviously, that is something that you like to see as a fantasy football player.
Now, we have some other guys on the waiver wire report over at FF Champs, but I can't get behind someone like Eric Ebron. And mm-hmm. I'm still not on board with Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah, Kyle Rudolph obviously looked a lot, but he caught some balls this week and got some targets, so that's obviously an important factor for him in coming back. Cordarrelle Patterson, like we said, he's a little bit banged up and not a guy that's getting a lot of looks anyway, so and maybe Kyle Rudolph keeps getting a little bit hotter as the weeks go by, but we're to the point in the season where you can't really wait for someone to heat up. They got to be at least, you know, already warm to consider picking up and use them in your playoffs. So Kyle Rudolph, not that guy. Look, you got one more week in a regular season and potentially a bye week for some people out there, week 14. So if Kyle Rudolph looks good these next 2 weeks, then yeah, I would feel okay rolling out with him weeks 15 and 16 if he's consistent in the next 2 weeks. But outside of that, like you said, not really worth a pickup, just kind of a watch type guy right now.
Now, we don't usually go over defenses and kickers, but we're going to do that today.
It's important.
Because it is the fantasy playoffs, or, you know, the last week of the fantasy regular season. I want to throw out a team that I think will be available in a lot of leagues, only because look who they just played this past weekend. It was the Denver Broncos, and I'm talking about the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
They play the New York Jets this week, and I think that's a great defense. If you want to stream a defense, look for the Miami Dolphins this weekend against the Jets. The Bills had like 30 points in my league, their defense against the Jets, you know, last night, Monday night.
Yeah, they went
12,
off.
So.
Yeah.
You might want to take a look at the Jets. At the Dolphins. They're playing the Jets.
Yeah, no, the Miami Dolphins, a great pickup for defenses, obviously. They scored touchdowns in a couple games. They do force turnovers. They've had at least one sack in every game but one this year. So
yeah.
They do get to the quarterback. They do force turnovers. They can score touchdowns. So if you're going to risk it on any defense out there and stream weekly, I think the Miami Dolphins should be one of the first ones that people out there should be looking at.
Now, some kicker news. The Denver Broncos, one of the best offenses in the league, just cut their kicker, Brandon McManus, and they signed Connor Barth. So I have a feeling that a lot of people were using McManus, even though he's only had, I think it's like 13 field goal attempts all year. He's only made 9 of them. But he leads the league in like extra points because the Broncos score so many touchdowns. But so for that reason, I think a lot of people, just because of the team he was on, I think a lot of people were using him. So they cut the Broncos cut Brandon McManus, and they signed Connor Barth.
Yeah, you know, we do make fun of kickers and the kicker situation a lot. Wait till the last round to pick your kicker. They're not that important. They end up averaging out at the end of the year. But a guy that's on an offense like Denver looks great, but like you said, they score too many touchdowns for a kicker to really be that fantasy relevant. You need a guy who is on an offense that's decent, moves into their opponent's territory, gets into the red zone, but doesn't really find the end zone a lot. So anybody from the Broncos is a decent pickup, but there's other guys out there that are going to have more chances at field goals, like a Dan Carpenter-type guy. You got Blair Walsh, who's playing great for the Vikings the first couple of years that he's been in the league. So guys like that who are going to get field goal opportunities is exactly what you want on your team at this point of the year.
You also want to be sure that you're paying attention to the weather as we get into the winter. Weather is always becoming a factor, wind especially. Not so much wet, but wind certainly becomes a factor when you're talking about kickers playing outdoors.
Yeah, yeah. I picked up Caleb Sturgis out of Miami a few weeks ago. I'm going to rock with him the rest of the way. Outside of being in New England, I believe week 15, he's got all home games, if I'm not mistaken, or if they are on the road, they're in warm weather areas. So someone like that, anybody who looks like they have games in domes, warm weather places, that's who you kind of want to focus on right now for your playoff run.
All right, so that was our waiver wire report. You can always check it out at ffchamps.com. You have a waiver wire question, get it in now, 855-728-7500. Shoot us an email, webradio@patriots.com. We're going to Justin in Boston. He's in a 10-team PPR league. Hey, Justin, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, buddy? How you doing today, man?
Pretty good, pretty good. How you doing?
Good, man. What, you in the playoffs yet? Are you trying to get in there? What's going on?
I'm fighting for the last seed. So,
all right, must win.
I just beat the top team this past week, 166-111. So
nice. That's a confidence booster.
Yeah. So I think if all goes well, I could probably sneak in. Yeah.
Hey, all you gotta do is get in. You never know what can happen from there.
Of course. But I don't really have a top waiver question this week. I just have who would you go for defense this week? I'm either looking at Dolphins or the Rams. And then again, I don't know who people are going to pick in front of me if they're going to make any waiver claims, but I'm looking at those two guys.
Both good options. The Rams are playing Oakland in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dolphins are playing at New York. But if I had to pick one, I think I'd... Oh, man, that's tough. I'd probably go with the Rams only because they're home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that statement at all. I mean, the Rams, the last 6 weeks have been on a tear as far as racking up sacks, at least two every single week, three or more in five of those 6 weeks. They got a bunch of five forced fumbles, four interceptions, got a touchdown on defense, so they are definitely playing solid. And once that front line got clicking, look at last year, they're just unbelievable. And a point per sack is a big deal. They're going to give up some points, but against a team like Oakland, they shouldn't be giving up too much. And Oakland's offensive line is nothing special, so I wouldn't be shocked to see another 4 or 5 sack performance out of St. Louis this weekend.
Yeah, and also, is that really a question? Just want to see what you have to think about this. I needed my tight end just for depth because I've been getting basically zippo all season for my tight end. So I just made a little move. I have a ton of receivers, so I traded Sanu for Travis Kelce.
As long as you have the receiver depth, that's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't even playing Sanu anyways because I had way too many receivers.
Yeah. Kelce can be good in the PPR format for sure.
Okay, nice. Yeah, because plus I kind of read somewhere that usually, I don't know if it's every week, but because last week, of course, then Miami doesn't really have a good tight end. Well, they have Clay, but I think he was out last week.
He was.
But usually I think the tight ends in the past have gone pretty favorable against Denver.
I can look that up for you if you want me to.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, though.
Yeah, I mean, Denver against the tight end is obviously, that's not their strong suit. Their strong suit is slowing down the run. They're ninth right now, giving up fantasy points to the tight ends, giving up just a touch over 9 points per game.
Yep.
So the Denver defense against tight ends, obviously not super solid. And again, Travis Kelce, we bring it up almost every week, but he's the main pass-catching weapon on the Chiefs. Their wide receivers still aren't doing anything for him. So Travis Kelce is the best option if you're going to have someone catching passes in Kansas City.
Appreciate the phone call, Justin. It's kind of crazy, Ant, that not one Chiefs wide receiver has caught a touchdown this year.
Still.
Is that the oddest stat in football this year?
That
not
is
one receiver from the Chiefs?
It's unbelievable. If they go an entire year without catching a touchdown, I don't know what's going to happen. And especially if they end up making the playoffs. If they make the playoffs and don't score a touchdown by a wide receiver, that's got to be the most insane stat of all time for the NFL. Seriously, that is especially in this day and age where everybody's throwing the ball. 15, 20 years ago, you wouldn't blink twice about hearing something like that. But now when everybody's throwing the ball and wide receivers get every single call, and if you breathe on them wrong, you're getting 15 yards. Unbelievable that they have not caught a touchdown yet. Unbelievable.
All right, let's jump over to the emails, try to bang some of these out before we go to the next break. Waiver wire question from Leon. Hey, guys, thanks for advising to keep the Bills defense this year. Best move I could have made. He's got three questions for a PPR league. Who should he drop, and what defense should I try to pick up between the Ravens or Vikings? Also, should I drop Owen Daniels for Jordan Cameron? If so, which waiver claim should I put in first? Looking at defenses for Week 14 and 15, he will sit Buffalo. He has, would you advise keeping two defenses for the fantasy playoffs? Let's start there.
Yeah, it's really hard to do that if you don't have the room on your roster to hold two defenses. Obviously, you just want to hold one, and if you're holding one, either they're solid enough you feel like you can make it, or it's a team you're rotating anyway. So I don't think holding two is really worth it.
Now, the reason why he's asking about Week 14 and 15 is because the Bills play the Broncos and then the Packers. So two powerhouse offenses coming to town for Buffalo.
Yeah, especially if your league is taking away points, then you can potentially get negative points for yards and points given up. So the Ravens are playing hot right now. That defense looks good. They stop the run. They get turnovers. They get sacks. They get to the quarterback. And, you know, the rest of the way, I don't know what their schedule is off the top of my head, but I know they have a fairly favorable schedule as far as their defense goes.
Yeah, they play the Chargers week 13, week 14 they play Miami, week 15 Jacksonville, week 16 Houston.
Yeah, so you got a couple weak teams. You got the Chargers, who are a decent offense, but they're coming all the way east through it for a 1 o'clock game. And last time that happened, Phillip Rivers just completely looked horrific against the Miami Dolphins. So they got a great schedule. If they're on your waiver wire, I would definitely pick them up. That's who I scooped up a couple weeks ago, and I'm rocking with them the rest of the way.
All right, another one of Leon's question. Pick three wide receivers, Michael Crabtree, Antonio Brown, Eric Decker, Mike Evans, Mike Wallace, Kenny Stills. I know who I'm going with.
Obviously, Antonio Brown and Mike Evans cannot be taken out of your lineup right now. They're just playing too hot.
I think Wallace next.
Yeah, he's playing the worst defense. The Jets are still horrible against the pass, so I think Mike Wallace is the best guy to take a chance on out of the rest of the receivers you got.
In another league, should he drop Jordan Reed and put in a claim for Jordan Cameron?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Jordan Reed's not doing anything this year. I'd rather take a chance on Jordan Cameron at this point, I guess. I mean, it's a toss of the dice, but yeah, either way, I'm okay dropping him for Jordan Cameron.
I'm trying to find some. Got a lot of start or sit questions. Here's a quick waiver wire question from Andrew and Callie. Hey, guys, Kaepernick's been killing me all season. No way I'm trusting him on a short week versus Seattle. Good move. Who should I pick up or should I stick with Cap? Eli Manning, Drew Stanton, Derek Carr, Andy Dalton, Kyle Orton.
Oh, man.
I think the answer's Dalton.
Yeah. Andy Dalton, Cincinnati at Tampa Bay. Again, another bad defense. Jay Cutler actually looked okay against them. The Bears put up points, but they had a lot of short fields, so he didn't have a lot of stats. But if they had to drive the ball, it's something I feel like they could have done on Tampa Bay. So Andy Dalton's probably your best solution for this week.
I agree with that. I think Dalton is definitely, and we said his schedule for the rest of the year is pretty good, too.
Yeah, he's got a nice schedule, so he's someone you can definitely keep on your team. I wouldn't drop Kaepernick at this point, but Colin Kaepernick just doesn't look like the guy we're used to see the last, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago. So I'm totally okay with not playing him every week. He's not an every week start anymore.
All right, what do you say we take a quick break? More of your start and sit questions and waiver wire for Week 13 coming up next right here on Patriots.com.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only. They're participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today.
From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Bill Enright and Anthony Grace want to help you dominate your fantasy football league.
Call in with your questions at 855-PATS-500 or email the champs at webradioandpatriots.com. Now, back to Bill and Anthony.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Football Champs. It is week 13 in the NFL. For the most part, this is the last week of the fantasy regular season. Next week, we're going to be all fantasy playoffs all the time. Only one show this week because of the Thanksgiving holiday. While everyone's enjoying their turkey, enjoying their football, we'll be hard at work trying to update everyone on the actives and inactives, updating our rankings over at ffchamps.com. But we are here right now to answer your start and sit questions. We're also doing waiver wire for today, so still a very busy show, about 40 minutes left. 855-728-7500 is the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. So, Anthony, I think we should jump back into the email because, as always, Kevin started sending them. I think today the first one came in at 10:40 in the morning.
Yeah, it was real early this morning. I was shocked. I was shocked when I heard my phone ring, and I looked down, and I'm like, this can't be right. This has to be for the wrong show. And I'm like, oh, no, he's right. People want their knowledge, you know. Like, they must know we only got one show this week, so they were getting those questions in early today.
All right, so this one is from King Dog, and he says, Dear Bill and Ant, King Dog here, just lost my perfect season, which actually could be a blessing because I've never heard of a fantasy team going undefeated in the regular season and then winning the championship. So better get that loss out now than later on.
Yeah, like if you're going into the playoffs, Bill, and you just won 7, 8, 9 straight, like, do you get a little bit nervous? Like, this can't
Absolutely.
Keep going. Like, I want to lose one of those last like 2, 3 weeks if I'm guaranteed a playoff spot, just to be safe.
Yeah. All right, so let's help him out here. Matty Ice or Big Ben? I think we're going Big Ben.
Gotta.
Charles Clay or Tim Wright? We don't know if Charles Clay's going to play.
Yeah, that's tough. If we know Charles Clay's definitely going to play before Tim Wright suits up at 4 o'clock on Sunday, I'm playing Charles Clay, obviously. If not, I'm okay with Tim Wright.
All right, how about these wide receivers? Andre Ellington, Gio Bernard, Jeremy Hill, Shane Vereen, Joyke Bell.
First of all, those are running backs, not wide receivers.
What did I say? I said wide receivers?
Yeah. We need two of these bad boys. Andre Ellington's got a great matchup with the Atlanta Falcons this week, so you're not sitting him. And, I'll go Jeremy Hill and Joyke Bell in the flex.
All right, now we don't have to play Joyke Bell. We could play DeAndre Hopkins, John Brown, or Devontae Adams.
I know Joyke Bell is not playing his best, but the Chicago Bears defense is still just not very good. So I'm still going to roll the dice on Joyke right there.
All right. Next email was from, who is this guy? Lewis. Lewis says, hey guys, I have Eddie Lacy and Jamal Charles, my running back 1 and 2.
All right.
Trades are over. Doesn't know if I should handcuff any of these guys. James Starks and Davis are both available. Or pick up a guy like Latavius Murray or Dan Heron or Heron. So where do you sit on this situation? Would you rather have your handcuff, or would you rather have a guy that is probably going to score more than your handcuff, but maybe not as important?
In this situation, I'd rather have Niall Davis because we know if Jamal Charles goes down, what he can do. We know, obviously, the Chiefs' wide receivers aren't scoring, so the only guys who are scoring are their tight ends and their running backs. And Niall Davis proved earlier this year with no Jamal Charles, he can handle the bulk of the carries, and he can be a great running back. So I would rather have Niall Davis in this situation.
Yeah, me too. I think it's important to handcuff Jamal Charles at this point.
Yeah, he might be the most important handcuff in the league right now.
Lewis says, I'm locked into the playoffs, so waivers from here and on will be the only way to get a player, and I'm worried that either of my two running backs go down with an injury. Yes, then especially if you're worried, you want to get Niall Davis.
Yeah.
Congratulations on the show. This is my first year playing fantasy football, and I'm owning my league because of your awesome show and advice. New fan from Mexico. Keep it up.
All right.
Oh, viva la Mexico. Okay. Yeah. Total yeah. bien. Bienvenidos.
I don't know much Mexican out of Spanish, but Dos Cadenas means two chains in Spanish. That's all I'm aware of right now.
I know. I wouldn't say I'm fluent in Spanish, but I can hold a conversation.
Yeah, I can't. Papa's
Kevin,
Frieza's
how's your
French
Spanish?
Fries.
How are you? That's it?
That's all I got, Bill.
That's your
si.
Los, el gato es en mi pantalones con leche grande.
With milk? With big milk?
Wait, is that from Blue Streak?
I don't know.
That's from Blue Streak. El gato en mi pantalones. With Martin Lawrence, right?
Martin Lawrence. Happened to him. Bad Boys were great movies, by the way.
I watched Bad Boys 2 on Saturday with my brother, and it is still as funny as the first time I saw it.
Usually,
Martin Lawrence kills me in that movie.
Usually sequels are horrible, but the Bad Boys, they're both just hilarious. You gotta love them.
Amigo con grande cabeza.
No, Amigo con grande cabeza. They're classic. Classic.
Oh my god, no question about it.
So Lewis, yes, thank you. Thank you for listening.
Thanks,
and,
man. Appreciate it.
Congratulations on your show.
Amigo con grande cabeza.
Gracias.
Fabrizio, our Paisan Fabrizio is up next. He says, Paisanos, happy Thanksgiving to you guys. I'm in desperate need of a wide receiver one. Can't rely on anyone but the solid Demaryius Thomas. Pick one, Justin Forsett, Le'Veon Bell, or Andre Ellington. Oh, boy.
Really? Just one? I mean, I guess Le'Veon Bell's the biggest stud of the group,
yeah,
so
gotta
stick
him.
With him.
He's our number one running back this week on FF Champs, by the way.
Yeah.
Pick one, Alex Smith, or one of the other running backs above that you didn't select.
You know what? In a PPR league, it's hard to go against Andre Ellington against the Atlanta Falcons this week. I mean, Isaiah Crowell just tore them apart, and he's not a pass-catching guy. Andre Ellington's on the field every play. This guy could easily score 30 points this week. So I would take Andre Ellington over Alex Smith in that position this week.
Justin Forsett's on a tear, too, man.
He is, man. It's three great running backs. So even though your wide receiver situation isn't great, you're still probably getting – in a PPR league, 70 or so points out of those three guys combined in a given week, so that's not bad at all.
Pick one, Malcolm Floyd, John Brown, or Pierre Fugazi Garcon?
We don't like Garcon. You know, you said, Bill, Malcolm Floyd's catching four passes a week on average, so that's pretty consistent. I like that. So,
I'm with you there.
It's tough between him and John Brown. John Brown's a boomer bust guy, but Floyd's a little more consistent.
He's 8-4, looking like a boss for the playoffs.
All right.
Grazie, grazie.
Not bad in a 14-team league.
Next email is from Mike in Boston. He asks us about DraftKings. So DraftKings has a Thanksgiving – this is actually a pretty cool tournament.
Yes.
If you want some action on Thursday for the three games that are on Lions-Bears, Cowboys-Eagles, Seahawks-Niners, a lot of prominent fantasy players.
Mm-hmm.
DraftKings has a Thanksgiving Day only tournament. So Mike is asking, what are your thoughts on the running backs for this coming Thursday's games? I'm in the DraftKings comments. I don't like Forte as he's up against the Lions front stout front. Who would you guys go with? All right, so I think we should kind of make a team here. Let's make a team, and I'll use it.
Yeah, now,
it's $20 to get in.
Yes,
$600,000 prizes. I'll use this team. Let's make a team right now.
All right, let's get to it. Now, I actually signed in a couple teams on the Wishbone Classic, which is what they called on DraftKings the other day. So,
yeah, the Wishbone Classic, that's correct.
I put a couple teams in there. I was playing a little bit. I did all right. I won myself a little bit of cash this weekend on the DraftKings.
Nice.
So, not $1 million, obviously, but, you know, a little bit of money, enough to get a couple teams in here and have a little bit of fun on Thanksgiving Day.
So we know there's six starting quarterbacks.
Yep.
They range in price from $7,600 to $6,500, with Colin Kaepernick being $6,500 going up against Seattle. Tony Romo being the most expensive, $7,600. Russell Wilson are both $7,600. Matthew Stafford only $72, Cutler $69, Sanchez $68, and then again Kaepernick $65. I think of the bunch, Stafford, I think he's the best price given to what he's going up against.
Yeah, Stafford definitely has the best value out of all these guys. That's 100% true. Romo, obviously, another.
Yeah.
They're playing the two worst defenses against the pass in the league, in the Eagles and the Chicago Bears. So either one of these guys is good. If you can swing an extra $400 for Romo, I'm okay with that. But it's a toss-up between those two. It really is this weekend.
All right, now for running backs, which is what Michael was asking about.
Yep.
He doesn't want to use Matt Forte. $8,700, the most expensive running back for this Thursday Wishbone Classic.
It's a lot of money.
Only the Thursday games. That is a lot of money. I think he's right.
It's a lot of money.
Considering the matchup.
It's a tough matchup, but again, we do know that the Detroit Lions, outside of playing Green Bay and Chicago consistently, Obviously, they faced the Patriots last week. But outside of that, they don't play an offense like this. So where a lot of times I feel like they might be able to stack the box on some players, Matt Forte is their best weapon. And he's not even a guy in the backfield who gets a lot of his points off of rushing the ball. It's a lot of passes out of the backfield. So in a PPR-type format, it's a lot of money. Obviously, you could probably work in some other stuff. But if you can put Matt Forte in there in a PPR league, he's going to get you close to 20 points if he plays an entire game without hurting himself.
And you know what? To be honest, none of the matchups for running backs this weekend or for Thursday's games are really that spectacular. Yeah. DeMarco Murray might have the best one.
Yeah, I was going to say, outside of DeMarco Murray, there's not really a great matchup. LeSean McCoy, a lot of guys panicking on him, but he's turning on of late, had a real nice week last week. So he's riding a little bit of a nice streak the last week or two. But outside of that, yeah, a lot of tough matchups for running backs this week on Thursday.
If you had to pick two, would you go with the two guys in the Cowboys-Eagles game, DeMarco and LeSean?
Those are my top two choices.
Or would you try to save a little money and try to go with Droik Bell at like 4,700?
Yeah, you got Droik Bell at 47 and you got Darren Sproles at 45. So maybe something like a DeMarco Murray, Darren Sproles combo. Not a bad start for two running backs, both guys who very well could get into the end zone. And Darren Sproles returns punts. So another way for him to score some points for you.
I mean, Frank Gore is really cheap, 3,500. He's playing against Seattle.
Yeah, now that intrigues me a lot. I know it's a tough matchup, but Frank Gore is just, they're going to have to hand the ball off. You know, what was it? Andrew and Callie sent us an email about Colin Kaepernick. He's got four career games against Seattle. 136 yards per game is what he's averaging. Two touchdowns versus five picks in four games. So
that's terrible.
They're going to have to run the ball. And I think Frank Gore is going to get a lot of touches in this game.
All right, so we're not on board with only using two of the top guys. You may want to go down a little bit, save some on the running back spot so you can get some better wide receivers. So maybe you want to look at Frank Gore at 3,500. Maybe you want to look at a Droik Bell or Darren Sproles, 4,745. And then this way you can save some money there, go for one of the top flight running backs, and then save some money for wide receivers too.
Yeah, you're going to have to because you got a lot of big wide receivers playing it. Calvin Johnson, Golden Tate, Eagles score points, Cowboys score points. So you're going to have a lot of wide receivers that you're going to, the Bears players, you got a lot of guys you're going to want to put in there. And they're all, again, with so few players out there, it's hard to work a lineup out because you think you can get a couple studs in there. But once you put two or three in there, you're working with, you know, third string wide receivers and stuff like that. So you got to really, really feel confident with your team to play in a tournament that's only got three games in it.
Now, the wide receivers, think about the teams that are in action this weekend. That are in action on Thursday. Do you really want someone from the Niners or the Seahawks, one of those wide receivers? Probably not, right?
Odds are no, yeah.
No. So I'm going to go with Dez Bryant. I'm going to go with Calvin Johnson. I'm going to go with Golden Tate.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Those are three of the top most expensive guys for wide receivers this weekend.
Yeah.
Now, you may want to roll the dice with a Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. They're about $1,000 cheaper than Calvin. Then you can look at a guy like Jordan Matthews, about $2,000 cheaper than than Calvin.
Yeah.
But then once you get like past Doug Baldwin or Terrence Williams at $3,900, there's really no one here. Cooper, 36.
Yeah, I don't like him. It's a huge drop off. There's a couple guys that are cheaper now. For some reason, Ricardo Lockett, I know he doesn't do a lot, but he always seems to be good for a deep pass in almost every game. He gets that deep ball. So if you're looking to save a little money on a wide receiver, he's only 3,000, which is your base minimum. Cole Beasley had a touchdown last week. So obviously Dallas is going to throw the ball a lot against Philadelphia with their horrible pass defense. So there's a couple guys down there that you might be able to work into your lineup and make some more studs in other positions work out for you.
Now, for tight end, there's really not many good options, and they're all relatively cheap. Jason Witten is actually the most expensive one at $4,500. Martellus Bennett, $4,000. Big drop-off with Brent Celek and Zach Ertz, $3,300, $3,200. Then you got some of the Lions wide receiver, some of the Lions tight ends. Dante Rosario, Vernon Davis, $3,000. So the tight end options this weekend, or I keep saying that, tight end options on Thursday, not really ideal. You really have to hit on one in order to make some money this weekend in this tournament.
And I think that's going to be the key. For someone who wins this tournament, it's going to be whichever tight end you roll the dice on is going to have a big game. That's the bottom line. You can work out positions, your running backs, your quarterbacks, your wide receivers. Everybody can get some studs in there, make some big things happen, but it's going to be a cheaper guy at your wide receiver or your running back potentially, and your tight end is going to make the big difference this week or this week. See, now you got me doing it. This Thursday for your Thanksgiving Day lineups at DraftKings.
Well, all right, so name the tight end that you think you can hit on.
The guy I'm rolling with is Vernon Davis. $3,000, the cheapest one, and Seattle's defense against stopping tight ends is still real bad. I guess Zach Ertz might not be bad for an extra $200 because Dallas is a little bit worse against tight ends. But the Seahawks, 10 touchdowns they've given up to tight ends, which is the second most this year. They don't give up a lot of yards, but they do give up touchdowns. So I would roll the dice on Vernon Davis, personally.
How are you going to call yourself the PPR monster and then throw out a player like Vernon Davis? The guy has 3 catches, 1 catch in week 12, 1 catch in week 10, 2 catches in week 9, 2 catches in week 7, 3 catches in week 6, 2 in week 4, 3 in week 2, 4 in week 1. Yeah, this guy has not caught more than 5 passes in a single game all year long. He hasn't had double-digit fantasy points since week 1, eh?
I know. I agree with you. And like I said, it's just a tough position to be in. Martellus Bennett is probably my favorite tight end this week out of that. But to save $1,000 on a tight end, and again, there's no guarantee because, you know, Detroit's defense is still good. Martellus Bennett is probably the guy I would like to roll with, but if I can save $1,000 and get a better quarterback or another more stud running back or wide receiver, I'd rather take the chance on that than I would on the tight end position. That's just, you know, how I'm thinking it out of my head.
For defenses, who would you go with out of the 6 teams?
Oh, man. And the Philadelphia Eagles, those guys score a lot. Now, I know we kind of touched on them last week, and I sent out a little teaser in the tweets before our show started. The Philadelphia Eagles, 9.5 points a game this year on defense. They've scored 8 touchdowns. But nice. six of those 8 touchdowns have come in Philadelphia, and they're putting up 13 points per game in Philly as opposed to on the road, 5 points per game, and both the road touchdowns came in San Francisco. So it's tough. You get $3,400, the most expensive defense. So if I'm rolling the dice, I'm going to say the Niners only because they're one of the two cheaper defenses, and that game's probably going to be a little bit more, obviously, defensive-driven than any of the other games.
I'm with you there. So that I think we kind of answered more than just Michael's question. We helped him out in all the positions, but that was for the Wishbone Classic over at DraftKings, who is our title sponsor of the show. So we always like to promote some of the action. That should be fun.
Oh, yeah.
Thanksgiving tournament only. It's just the Thursday games. You'll know by the end of the fourth quarter of the Seahawks and Niners, the winner takes home 100 grand. It's not bad for one day of work.
Someone's taking it home. Someone's got to take it home. So, yeah, like why not? Take a chance. Get some turkey in you. You'll be watching football anyway. So, you know, throw a little money out there. You never know what could happen. Could be fun. Take a chance. It'll be a good time.
Chris in California is trying to challenge Andrew and Callie for easiest questions of the day. Very simplistic, very concise. 3 spots, 7 guys, non-PPR. Here they are. DeAndre Hopkins, Shane Vereen, Julian Edelman, Darren Sproles, Keenan Allen, Kenny Stills, Reggie Wayne. Non-PPR. So let's roll out. Let's start with process of elimination here. Do we like Vereen over all these wide receivers?
No. I don't. That backfield's just a mess. He was on the field for more snaps than LeGarrette Blount, but Blount made the most of his touches. He's going to touch the ball more out of the backfield there.
Do we like Sproles more than any of these receivers?
Sproles would be one of my 3 guys to put in there.
Okay. How about DeAndre Hopkins with Ryan Fitzpatrick under center?
Yeah, I don't. That Ryan Fitzpatrick scares me a little bit. But, you know, the Tennessee Titans don't have a strong defense, and I would roll the dice with DeAndre Hopkins this week.
All right, so Hopkins and Sproles are in.
100%.
One more spot. Edelman, Allen, Stills, Wayne.
I'm gonna throw out Julian Edelman for this one.
Julian Edelman, final answer.
Oh, yeah, high scoring game with the Patriots and the Packers, so I'm gonna go with Julian Edelman over Reggie Wayne.
All right, so we have for our guy Chris, we have DeAndre Hopkins,
Julian Edelman,
Sproles. Julian Edelman, Darren Sproles, and DeAndre Hopkins. Is that who you said?
Yeah, those are the three I like.
All right. Next email is from Jack. Hello. I am a massive supporter of the Patriots and your show all the way down under in Australia. Very nice.
All right.
After Bradshaw is out for the season, I'm short in the running back spot. Running backs are DeMarco Murray, Steven Jackson, Jonathan Stewart, Latavius Murray. Who do I start? I'm thinking Murray and Murray. Sounds like a law firm.
It does. Murray and Murray at your service. If Latavius Murray plays, he's obviously your best option between the three guys who aren't DeMarco Murray, I think. Steven Jackson, tough matchup, and he's not solid enough to be a starter, I don't think, really anymore. Jonathan Stewart, taking on Minnesota, their defense is okay. If Latavius Murray doesn't play, I guess I would chance Jonathan Stewart, but the two Murrays if Latavius does play, I agree.
I'm a little scared to open up this next email. The subject is, it's all your fault.
Oh, here it comes.
It's all your fault. It's from Mike G. Because I listen to you each and every week and have taken your rules and advice to heart, my team is now too good. Whoa.
Oh, hey, oh, whoa. All right.
A little
all
bit
right.
of a... Yeah.
Love it.
Yes, a change, a plot twist. My team is now too good, and I honestly don't know what to do. This is a PPR league, and I need to know who to start at wide receiver and flex. Here are the choices. Pick three, and three wide receivers, one flex. All right, so he's got Cobb, Gordon, Vincent Jackson, Edelman, Jordan Matthews, Emmanuel Sanders, Benjamin. I think it's Cobb, Gordon, Sanders, and we'll even ask a second question.
Right, those three are definitely your starters now. Which one of the other guys do we like in our flex position is the question.
I think it's Andre Ellington. He's got Andre Ellington, LeGarrette Blount, Isaiah Crowell, plus he's got Matthews, Benjamin, and V-Jax, and Edelman. I think it's Ellington, though.
Damn, this team is damn good. We are good, Bill. I like this team. If you're drafting off of what we did, Mike, we don't want to pat ourselves on the back too much, but damn. Yeah, Ellington's got to be a guy in there, too. It's a soft matchup and a PPR league, so he's got to be in there as well.
He says, in all seriousness, I have listened to you since you came on Patriots.com radio and have one championship in the books and one and in first place this year and looking for number two. Thanks. That was
all right. Congrats, Mike.
It's funny. My brother is in was in the Army, so he wasn't able to play fantasy ever. He just started playing this year, and he had – I think he had two drafts the same night, and then Kevin also had his draft that night.
Craziness.
And I was on Skype with Kevin. I was next to my brother in the living room helping him on his laptop. He just sent me a picture today. He's 9-3 in both leagues. One's a 10-man, one's a 12-man, and he's in first place. And I think Kevin – I think he's in first place in his league. I must have been on fire that night because I helped both of them out. Both of them are in first place, and both of them only have, like, three losses.
Mm, that's awesome.
It's Kevin, like, am I correct? Is Kevin alive?
I am alive. I'm 11-1.
11-1, okay. Yeah, see? That was the same night I was helping my brother out. So I must have been in a good mood that night. You got to catch me in a good mood.
That's all it is. You're a nice guy. Oh, look out.
Next email is Higgins in Seattle. Just doesn't have that ring.
Still haven't worked it out yet. We're sorry.
Hi, guys. Jonas Gray, YOY. I burned a high waiver pick on him. Higgins, we told you not to do that. Now I'm wondering, and you likely covered this, should I drop him for either LeGarrette Blount or Darren Sproles in a standard league? If we're covering big regrets for this year, at one point I had Forsett and Mike Evans. Man, I dropped them both after they got off to slow starts. Thanks, guys. Playoffs next week. He dropped Justin Forsett, a top five running back. I know he started off slow, but that hurts.
That's killer. Yeah, that's one pickup I made, and I was making sure I did not drop him. Forsett is a killer. So is Mike Evans, the way he's been playing recently. I mean, obviously, I feel if you dropped Evans in the beginning of the season, a little more okay with it because it took him a little while to catch. But Forsett was putting up double-digit points virtually every week. So that's a tough one. But dropping Jonas Gray to pick up Blount or Darren Sproles, that's
I'm doing it.
I'm picking up Darren Sproles.
Yeah, me too.
It's less crowded. I'm not less crowded of a backfield, but you know what you're getting. You know he's definitely getting touches, so that's a plus.
Nick in Boston's up next on the Fantasy Football Champs. Hey, Nick.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
There he is. What's up, man?
Not much. So before I get to my question, Bill, you know, I heard you chastising Ant earlier for his pick of Davis, but, you know, he did pick the Oakland Raiders last Thursday, and look how that turned out. So sometimes
black hole
diamonds in the rough, you know.
That is very true. We haven't gotten to the primetime pick'em yet, but I do recall Anthony going with the upset. And it's funny because earlier in that show, we said, when will the Raiders get their first win? And Anthony's like, tonight.
Just
like,
oh, win, baby.
Yeah,
just
that's
win.
It.
Yeah, very, very well done. But
yeah.
So I've got a question about wide receivers. You know, it's early in the week, but I'm trying to figure this out. So I've got three positions for wide receiver and then a flex. And my wide receivers are DeAndre Hopkins, Anquan Boldin, Keenan Allen, Mike Evans, Vincent Jackson, and also Jarvis Landry is out there on waivers. So what three would you put in my starting lineup?
All right, let's start off from the top. Did you say Jeremy Maclin?
No, I said Boldin.
Oh.
DeAndre Hopkins, Keenan Allen, Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans.
I don't like Vincent Jackson this week.
I don't either.
Obviously, you're not taking Mike Evans out. You can't do that.
Can't do that. I like Keenan Allen against Baltimore.
Yeah, Keenan Allen's a nice play, and I think so is DeAndre Hopkins. Bolden's playing solid, but that's just such a tough matchup in Seattle
for
him.
Yeah, the rough.
I would definitely, though, drop Vincent Jackson to pick up Jarvis Landry, even if you're losing this week. That would be a huge pickup for you, I think, the rest of the way.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good. And then would you put any of those guys at flex over Fred Jackson?
Against Cleveland, no. I think Fred Jackson should be in the lineup.
All right, great. Yeah, that sounds good. Thanks, guys. Have a good Thanksgiving.
All right, you too, Nick.
Best of luck to you. Anthony, Vincent Jackson was one of those guys. I told you earlier in the show when I was doing the rankings today, and I was like, wow, this guy's really down far. I have Vincent Jackson at 50.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those. It's just one of those times when there's so many, with no teams on a bye this week, you know, maybe Vincent Jackson was hovering around that 36 spot, somewhere around the wide receiver 3.
Yeah.
This week he's at 50. You know, I have guys like Andre Johnson, Reuben Randall, Percy Harvin, Brandon LaFell, Eddie Royal, Eric Decker, all in front of him this week. Bengals have a really good pass defense.
I can't blame you for that. And he hasn't really been performing over the last couple of weeks. Had one decent game in the last, 4-week stretch. So it's tough to play Vincent Jackson right now, especially with Mike Evans having the hot hand and being the first look. It's just the way it is.
Kevin, how are we doing on time here? Are we okay to power through the rest of the show?
Yeah, let's motor through them.
All right, let's just bang out some of these emails, Ant.
All right, let's do it.
Todd in Jacksonville, Tony Romo or Phillip Rivers?
Tony Romo.
Crowell, McKinnon, LeGarrette Blount, Darren Sproles, or Drake Bell? He just needs one.
Two of those guys. You can't sit Crowell right now, and Joyke's going to be the main guy there against a bad defense, so I'm going to go Joyke and Crowell.
Would you drop Jerick McKinnon for Jarvis Landry?
Yes.
Okay. Next email is from Mark. Full point PPR. This one's easy. Antonio Brown, Josh Gordon, Randall Cobb, ODB. Three of the four.
Man,
when I said it was easy, I meant the question's very simple. And
yeah.
Concise.
Not the answer.
Not the answer.
I guess ODB is the odd man out, in my opinion, here.
It's so tough, man.
I know. I hate that situation, but you got three guaranteed studs. I mean, ODB is on his way up there, but it's Jacksonville, though. You know what?
I might say Cobb.
Yeah. I was going to say Gordon.
No.
Cobb just gets in the end zone for the Packers.
I know.
They do have the toughest matchup, though, with the New England Patriots having a good secondary. So, well, should we say Brown, Gordon, and ODB this week?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. That's a toss-up. That's a coin flip, no matter who you're looking at. It really is.
Andre in the Bronx says Kaepernick or Kyle Orton?
Well, we don't like Kaepernick, so I guess we're going to roll the dice on Orton. He had a decent game yesterday, so why not take a chance on him again?
I can't do that. I'd go with Kaepernick. Start three, A.J. Green, Kelvin Benjamin, Josh Gordon, Emmanuel Sanders, ODB.
Well, A.J. Green's staying in there. Emmanuel Sanders, I think, has to stay in there.
Yeah. I think Josh Gordon.
Yeah, I guess you got to go Josh Gordon over ODB in that situation.
This one's kind of a loaded question because we don't know the answer if Arian Foster is going to play or not. But Arian Foster or Gio Bernard?
Obviously, if Foster plays, he's got to be in there.
LeGarrette Blount, Jordan, Ryan Matthews, or Alfred Blue? You're not playing Blue if you're playing Foster, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. So I guess I would go Matthews right there.
Brady or Romo?
Brady's on fire. Can't sit him.
No, can't. Next email is from Dan. Dear FF Champs, quick question. Who would you go with this week in the flex? Brandon Marshall or Jerick McKinnon? Come on, Dan.
You're better than that, Dan. You're better than that, man. We know you.
The answer is Brandon Marshall.
Definitely.
Craig from Wisconsin, pick a flex. Half-point PPR. Steve Smith, Mo Sanu, Ryan Matthews, Reggie Bush. It's either Sanu or Steve Smith.
Yeah.
And I think Sanu gets a slight edge here.
Yeah.
Pick a tight end, Travis Kelce or Kobe Fleener.
Travis Kelce.
I'm going to go with Fleener. Against Washington. Come on.
Kelce. Kelce's got Denver. Another soft matchup.
Pick a wide receiver and a flex. PPR, Mike Evans, Julio Jones, Emmanuel Sanders, Kelvin Benjamin.
I'll go Evans and Emmanuel Sanders.
Wow. Sitting Julio?
I have to.
Julio, no?
Julio, no. Not this week with that lineup. I just can't. I'm sorry.
All right. Pick a wide receiver and a flex. Mike Evans, Emmanuel Sanders, Odell Beckham, Kelvin Benjamin.
Oh my God.
I think Evans and Sanders again.
Yeah, got to.
Or I'd go Odell Beckham.
Over Evans?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'm okay with that. I agree.
Can he rely on Matthew Stafford as a quarterback in the playoffs? Play Chicago, Tampa Bay, Minnesota, Chicago. I think absolutely.
Definitely. Like that matchups.
Next email is from Fluffinfold.
Fluffinfold, there they are.
How do you all kick a question? I stream them each week. Connor Barth, Justin Tucker, or Mason Crosby? I like Tucker.
I think Tucker could be a pickup and use the rest of the way.
Should he send Ben Tate packing and add Charles Johnson, Stedman Bailey, Roy Helu, James Starks?
I'm okay picking up Charles Johnson. I think he's got a little bit more potential.
If you had the number one pick, and I want everyone to answer this, Kevin included. If you had the number one pick at your Thanksgiving table, you're going after what? Turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing, green bean casserole, or sweet potatoes? You had the first pick. What are you taking? Kevin Collins, you're on the clock.
I'll go green beans.
Green bean casserole. All right. Anthony Grace, you have the number two overall pick at the Thanksgiving table. Green bean casserole is off the Thanksgiving draft board. Where are you going?
Oh, that's turkey right there. That's turkey. That's a number one. That's a number one pick that slipped at number two.
Ooh, okay. So Anthony Grace gets the value with the turkey, going for some protein, maybe some of the tryptophan, make him miss the Seahawks and the 49ers game. Kevin Collins took the green bean casserole, somewhat of a wacky pick, but Kevin's a wacky kind of guy, leaves me with potatoes, stuffing, or sweet potatoes. Mashed potatoes, stuffing, or sweet potatoes. I might have to trade this pick away and just go for the dessert.
Hope you're not on Atkins, because you're not going to be able to get any of that in your belly.
I guess I'm going with stuffing.
All right. I don't blame you. That's a tough call. All the good stuff.
Kevin,
gone.
Green bean casserole, first overall pick on the Thanksgiving table.
Yeah, unfortunately, I like green beans.
I love green beans, but not over turkey. Once a year.
Ugh. I like green beans, and you put a little bacon in there, you're all set.
But bacon makes everything better. Let's be honest.
Gabe is up next. What's up, fellas? If I win this week, I'll make the playoffs. What do you? Would you guys make any changes to my lineup? I don't have time for that. I feel bad now that I said that. Tony Romo, Eddie Lacy, Andre Ellington, Julio Jones, Josh Gordon, Owen Daniels, Alfred Morris. Who does he have at tight end that he can replace Owen Daniels? Nobody.
Mm.
Get a better tight end replacement.
Yeah, that's all you can really do.
Everyone on his bench deserves to be on his bench.
Yeah.
Jimmy V. Roster is below. Who would you guys start? The Redditors, who I'm 100% starting. All right, so Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick.
Russell Wilson, just because he's at home.
LeSean McCoy, C.J. Anderson, Denard Robinson.
Got to stick with Shady.
Give me one more, too.
C.J. over Denard.
Okay. Emmanuel Sanders, Golden Tate, Odell Beckham Jr.
Two of those bad boys. Sanders and Tate.
Kelce or Donald?
Travis Kelce.
All right. Next email is from R&W Management. Hello, start Tom Brady or add Ryan Tannehill off waivers. Why are people not want...
Start Tom Brady, but Ryan Tannehill's a nice add if you can add him as a backup in case, but you're not sitting Tom Brady the rest of the way unless he gets hurt.
But did something happen with Brady where he stopped producing? Like, I don't...
We missed something, maybe, but no. Tom Brady, every week start. Keep him in there.
Next email is from Devin. Thanks so much for all your help. My wide receivers are destroying Dez, Demaryius Thomas, Odell Beckham. My question is in regards to the quarterback position. He has Jay Cutler, and he's been an absolute nightmare the last several weeks. I'm wondering if I should pick up any of the following. Drop Terrence Williams, Kyle Rudolph, or Jonas Gray. Teddy Bridgewater, Zach Mettenberger, Josh McCown. That's rough. I'd probably keep Cutler.
You have to with those names listed.
Nate from Kansas City, I have a question on the FF Chance website. Are we supposed to go with the rest of the way rankings or the FFCPI? I went with the FFCPI in one league, and I'm not going to win it, but in two other leagues, I'm in the hunt for the playoffs and still in second place. I have no idea what that question means.
The rest of the way rankings is more of a gauge to see if you want to make a trade or pick up a waiver or something like that. The FFCPI is what we're looking at every single week for that specific week. So if you're looking for just this week, you're going with our FFCPI.
For example, let me find a good one here. For example, Rashad Jennings is number 10 this week on the FFCPI because he's playing Jacksonville. But he's number 16 on the rest of the way rankings. That's more of a cheat sheet for in season. If you're using the rest of the way rankings for your weekly start and sit, you're probably not doing too well.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Randy in Maui. Oh, I'd love to be in Maui right now. What's Randy up, guys? 10-team standard league. I have Varane and Gray. Would you pick up LeGarrette Blount? Also, stick with what I got, or who would you drop one of them for him? I have a spot I can give up as I required Martin in a trade. I don't. Who's Martin?
No Martins. No.
And I have Wilson. Are you comfortable with his schedule down the stretch? Eli and Dalton are available. Randy and Maui is spending too much time on the beach. I think the sun has gotten to his brain a little bit here.
Yeah,
what's up, guys? 10-team standard. I have Vereen and Gray. Would you pick up Blount also? Stick with the what I got, or would you drop one of them for him?
I don't know what that means, but obviously...
Would you drop Jonas Gray for LeGarrette Blount? I think that's what he's trying to ask.
Sure. I don't know. It's a toss-up. Again, we don't know about the backfield. If it's a standard league, so even Marine is losing a lot of value in there. So.
And then this next question, I don't know what this means. I have a spot I can give up as I required Martin in a trade. Well, if you have a spot you can give up, then yeah, go get LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah.
But I don't know who Martin is. Doug Martin?
I'm assuming Doug Martin. If he's still on your roster, please drop him right now.
It's like the actor Martin, Steve Martin?
Ooh.
Or Martin Lawrence.
Martin Lawrence. Yeah. Is that the show Martin?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I was looking. That's what I was going.
Steve Martin is a lot wider than Martin Lawrence.
I'm a big Steve Martin fan, but I was going for that TV show called Martin.
Yeah, I love Martin. I love that show.
Martin's on.
We're at the end of the show, fellas. We got through all the emails.
Damn, we are.
All right, we have to do Wild Bill's Firesider and Pigskin Pick'em. So let's do the first things first, as they say. Pigskin Pick'em. We got to get a rundown here. What's the breakdown?
By the way, just before we get to the Pigskin Pick'em, our loyal listener and amazing webmaster, Chris Ferrer, had forwarded me an email for you guys for some fantasy advice. I just sent it maybe like a minute ago. So if it pops up on your screener there.
I got it.
Yeah, let's help Chris out.
All right, this is from our friend Chris. Need to start two wide receivers, standard scoring. He's got some good ones here. Mike Evans, Alshon Jeffrey, Odell Beckham, Julian Edelman, Martavius Bryant. Remember, it's non-PPR.
Non-PPR, I would ODB's got to be in there for me. And I would go Evans over Jeffrey just because of the matchup this week.
I'd go, I think Jeffrey's matchup's better.
Detroit,
it's close. Anthony's taking Evans, I'm taking Jeffrey.
ODB's definitely in.
ODB's definitely in. Need to start two running backs for our boy Chris, Alfred Morris, Ryan Matthews, Trey Mason, Justin McKinnon, Jonas Gray.
Alfred Morris is playing out of his mind. He's got to be in your lineup. Yeah. And who was that second option?
Ryan Matthews, Trey Mason.
Yeah, I would run with Ryan Matthews there.
Yeah,
in Baltimore.
Ravens.
I might go Trey Mason. Let's go Trey Mason against the Raiders at home.
Yeah.
Had a good couple of weeks the past couple of weeks. Let's go Alfred Morris and Trey Mason in that running back's position.
There you go. I'm agreeing with that. Primetime Pick'em. Let's get a rundown. I know I did terribly.
Bill
and I did terribly.
Bill, terribly is putting it nicely. 0-4.
No, I did not.
You went 0-4. KC.
Stop it.
The New York Football Giants, the Saints, and the Jets.
Oh, my God.
We all went the Saints and the Jets. So you finished 0-4. I went 2-2, and Kevin went 1-3 this past week.
Wait, so I passed Bill then.
So Kevin is in the lead with 18.
Oh, worship the new leader.
18 wins for Kevin, 17 for Bill, 16 for me. So we got ourselves a race, gentlemen, the last couple weeks.
You bow down to me, Bill Enright.
I went 0-4 this weekend.
That's
so embarrassing.
You should be embarrassed. I'm embarrassed to know you right now, to be honest.
And Kevin took the lead, and you're only one game behind me? This is, terrible.
You don't want to lose to me.
Now, Kevin can be there, obviously, to offer insight.
God. Dude, how funny was it last week when we had those brothers on and Kevin played that clip?
They loved it.
They had no idea, but they were, like, dying laughing. It was great.
Wonderful. I love it. All right. We got three picks for Thanksgiving, Fettles, so let's get into it. What about this first game, the Bears and the Lions, NFC North? What do we
Lions.
Like? Lions. Yeah, I agree. Detroit.
Kev?
It's tough. Let's see. Because I don't have a lot of faith in the Lions after what they've shown me. Game's in Detroit, obviously, right?
It is,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so two bad teams, I think. Two struggling teams. I'll take the Lions.
All right. Got Detroit across the board. So game number two. NFC East battle for first place. Philadelphia Eagles traveling to the Dallas Cowboys in Texas.
Cowboys.
Yeah, Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are all over this. Like, the Eagles are a good team, no?
Take them. Take them, Kev.
It kills me to have to take the Cowboys. It kills me. I don't want to do that, but they're probably going to split this series, and they still got a game in Philly in 2 weeks.
Right.
So
if Foles was playing, I think I'd take the Eagles. Not a big Sanchez guy.
Yeah, Sanchez scares me the most in this game.
I don't think I don't think they've gone off the cliff with him, but
it's pushing it.
I'll take Dallas. I'll take Dallas.
Can't play 0-4.
Another Thursday matchup for a division second place this time, but San Francisco at Seattle.
San Fran.
I like Seattle at home in this.
Yeah, game. I'm going to go with Seattle.
Sleepless in Seattle, indeed. All right, Sunday Night Football, another big matchup, potentially division on the line.
You guys both took Seattle?
Yes.
And I took
Hawks.
San Fran?
Yeah.
You did.
Oh, all right, I got to pay attention.
You do? You got to. Denver Broncos visiting Kansas City Chiefs this Sunday night.
I'm going with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Damn it. I'm going to take Denver.
Man, I think this is the hardest.
A lot of parity here, Bill. I like it.
I think this is the hardest pick this week for our primetime pick 'em. Real tough game to call. I'm going to go Kansas City as well, just coming off that bad loss.
I'll take the Chiefs.
The Chiefs, definitely. Get yourself a Snickers. Take the Chiefs. And to close out the primetime pick 'em this week, the worst game in primetime, the Miami Dolphins at the New York Jets.
Ooh. It's at New York, huh?
It is in New
York.
Cold.
Miami doesn't like the cold. But they played awful well in Denver last week, so I'm going to take Miami.
Yeah, I can't pick the New York Jets, so I have to stick with the Dolphins.
They played, you know, about as competitive as you could possibly play without winning that game last week.
Yeah, they jumped out to a nice lead, and they had a chance to win that game, that's for sure.
I'm taking Miami as well.
And I honestly didn't think in any way, shape, or form that they would have the horses to put 36 points up on anybody. And so I give them credit, and I think they're rounding into form the last month or so, and they're forced to be reckoned with.
Totally. Totally agree with that.
I'm taking Miami, too.
All right, so we got Miami, Detroit, and Dallas across the board, and a little bit of parity with San Francisco, Seattle, and Kansas City, Denver this
Parity's
week.
So good. Parity's good.
That's what we need. Totally agree.
All right, now, Wild Bill's Fire Cider ingredients.
Here it is. Let's do this.
I did this last year. Everyone seemed to like it. We got a lot of love, right, Kev, on the email?
Yeah, I'm going to make it again this year, so I want you to, we'll talk offline, but I want to get the recipe again.
Everyone loved it. It's a good drink. It could get you a little tipsy if you have too much, but it's very simple to make.
It was such a hit, Bill, last year that all my buddies that tailgate college football games up here were bugging me, and I was like, you got to listen to the show on Tuesday, and we'll give it out.
So it's basically, depending on how many people you want to serve, what I do, I have a big family, 2 gallons of apple cider. Mm. Throw it in the pan. Or the pot. I use a full bottle of whiskey. The Fireball whiskey, it's cinnamon taste. It goes great with the cider. So I use a full bottle. You can use a half bottle. It depends how much you want to drink. Always drink responsibly. You know, blah, 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 blah. I use a full bottle. If you want to get really, you know, lit up on Thanksgiving, you might want to pour a couple shots of Jameson in there. I don't personally do that, I know some people that do. 3 shots of Jameson in with the full bottle of Fireball. Now, the next part is very, very easy. You take some of that lemon stuff, not actually lemon grinds, but
lemon
you almost
zest.
You just do the lemon zest right off the lemon, all right?
There you go.
The lemon zest right into the pot. The main ingredient, this is what makes it. You got to get the cinnamon sticks.
The whole stick, that's what's up.
Throw eight of them in there. Stir it together, 45 minutes, boil on low.
Love it. It was a hit.
Don't heat it up for 10 minutes and think it's done.
No, it takes a while to heat. I made it myself, and it takes a, you kind of make it with care, Bill.
45 minutes to an hour on low
or medium
heat.
It's a simmer. That's what you want
to do. It is a simmer. 2 gallons of apple cider, one bottle of whiskey.
And my God, does it make, it'll make your house smell like a freaking Yankee candle or something.
Yeah, it's
like
it's exactly. Two things of apple cider, one thing of Fireball whiskey. You got the lemon zest. You got the 8 cinnamon sticks. Boil on low to medium for 45 minutes to an hour. And you'll have a delicious, warm, alcohol-infused beverage.
Mm-hmm. Let's simmer. Get a little more marinate. Marry together in that pot. Let it go.
Yeah, I loved it. My whole family loved it.
It's a good drink. It's very festive.
Wild Bill's Fire Cider.
It doesn't mess you up, but it makes you feel
If you want it to mess you up, it'll mess
you
up.
Well, that's why I said it. I mean,
I just hear like Lil Jon in my head, like, you know, grandma dancing to like, get out of your mind. Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's like, Aunt Millie, get off the table. Put your top back on, man.
What are you doing?
I can't. I'm on that Wild Bill's Fire Cider.
It's Thanksgiving. That's what we do in this family. Damn right.
What do you guys do for Thanksgiving? Travel? You go around? Because we're supposed to have a big snowstorm.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm from the like birthplace of Thanksgiving, where the Pilgrims landed.
Okay.
So I go home to Plymouth, Massachusetts, with the Rock and the Mayflower and the turkey and all that stuff.
I mean, is it huge in that town?
It's huge.
Big.
My God, it's, you know.
It's like Salem on Halloween, probably.
Yeah, it gets pretty intense. There's a lot of wahoos around, you know. There's a lot of drinking. Yeah, there's a big parade.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a big parade. There's a lot of people, like, from all over the state that are involved in the parade. It's like some kind of, like, honor to, you know, to be in the parade. But once you're, like, past 7 years old, you don't care about that too much.
I live like 10 miles outside of New York City. I've been to the Macy's Day Parade once my whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a parade
person. I'm cool with watching that on TV.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, Bill, like, if you're a football fan, all you want to do is be around good food, good people, and just like watch the games and eat good food. I mean, that's all you want to do. You don't want to go to the parades. You don't want to do anything.
Nice.
I used to want to go to the high school games in the morning. I'm like, you know.
Yeah, I got over that real quick.
Screw that noise. I'm over this. I'd rather sleep in, you know, wake up, have some food. You know, watch some football and just not move. Just vegetate.
Thanksgiving Eve is a big night of drinking around here, around where I'm from.
Yeah, I think it is I think it is everywhere.
Yeah, do you guys go out?
I used to. I'm too old for that now.
Anthony?
I don't go out.
Nah, I don't do anything. I'd rather just chill at home.
I
want to
wake up feeling good. I want to feel spry Thanksgiving morning.
It's also a big time for reunions.
It is.
Yeah.
This weekend.
If you like the people that you grew up with, you know, that's a big thing.
I had my 10-year high school reunion last year at this time.
I didn't go to mine.
Yeah, me
what?
Either.
I skip care. Yeah.
I don't like those people then. What the hell's going to make me like
them? Yeah, exactly.
Them now?
Like, you know, I don't know.
When they come to me looking for fancy advice, you better watch out.
You didn't go to your prom either, right?
Negative, no.
Yeah, I remember that for some reason.
Well, that's kind of odd.
I went to the, well, we had like two, well, here's the thing. Let's be honest here. There's, you know, normally you have like a prom, what, your senior year or whatever. We didn't do that noise. We did a prom your junior year. And then you did, like, another prom, but it wasn't called prom. It was called, like, senior dinner dance or whatever your senior year.
Yeah.
So I went to the one my senior year, but I was like, I'm not going to both.
Forget
that noise.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I waited until I was a senior. I was like, why would, you know, I don't know.
You went to your senior dance, not
Yeah. They just didn't call
it. It's the same thing then,
basically. It's the same thing. Yeah.
All right. Sorry for judging you.
That's okay.
All right.
I didn't really want to go, but I was like, all right, you only get one of these. Like, let's do this. Let's put on the monkey suit, you know. Because people are threatened by my dancing, you know?
Are they?
I'm tall, I'm lanky. I used to have good hair back then. So, you know, I just felt people were threatened by me.
You didn't want
to I took the chemistry teacher for a twirl. I don't know if she appreciated that very much, but life was good back then.
Female Walter White.
Do you have any fantasy questions for your league since we're not going to be around on Thursday?
No, you'll be around. If I message you, you'll answer. You always do.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be right.
And I always, I remember like last year, the year, whatever year it was, I was sending you like play by play updates, like videos of how the Fire Cider was coming. I was very proud of it.
Oh, that's right. Don't forget the cinnamon sticks and don't forget the lemon zest.
I won't. I've already bought.
Don't go crazy with the lemon zest.
I've already bought. All right. Let me rephrase. Most of those materials have already been bought for me because my family is so excited for me to make it.
Oh, good.
So nice. Life is good.
There you go.
I don't know about you, Bill, but I'm, you know, you say drink responsibly. I'm going to drink responsibly. I'm not going anywhere all day, but I'm getting hammered. I'm going
to
love it.
Well, I mean, I like to say that because, first of all, I was a bartender for 12 years. So
yeah.
I always kind of.
No, I appreciate and that. I'm not two, going anywhere. I'm just going to sit there and stink up the joint.
Listen, it could creep up on you, this cider.
Oh, it does.
Depending on how much. Listen,
it warms the cockles of your heart.
It does. And if you put the Jameson in, it's not going to be disgusting tasting. It adds a little bit of flavor to it.
Like, yeah.
If you like the bourbon flavor, if you like the whiskey flavor,
oh, I
it
like
adds
bourbon.
A little flavor to it.
I'm Irish. My family's Irish, Bill.
I mean,
preaching to the choir.
Put three shots in.
The problem is going to be if I start putting, you know, sneaking a shot or two of Jameson in the cider, and one of my uncles sees the bottle of Jameson, there's not going to be two or three shots left.
It's over.
It's just going to go straight down the gullet.
If you have a big family, the 2 gallons and the one of whiskey and the one Fireball.
Yeah.
It's probably not a lot of alcohol. If you have a small family, do 1 gallon and one bottle of Fireball.
Gotcha. Or I could do like a gallon and a half, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Gallon and a half, that type of thing.
The
key to it is, people, you can always add like more cider, you know what I mean? As you're going, you can kind of taste it. That's the best part, you know? That's what I was doing, kind of gauging on, you know, how strong do I want this? And then I would add a little more cider, let it heat for another 20, 25 minutes. That's what I was doing. Mm-hmm. Till it was absolutely perfect.
It's delicious. I suggest everyone try it.
It's amazing. And it gets you messed up, which we all like.
And a lot of people are hitting me up on Twitter right now telling me that I'm a girly man for not going to Nash Vegas with all my boys.
Nash Vegas?
Yeah, you missed that part of the show.
Yeah, I was probably tapped out. I was asleep.
It was earlier in the show. All my friends are going to Nashville for a game next weekend.
I was picking food out of my beard. That's what I was doing. I'm growing a Revs playoff beard, Bill.
Oh, how's that going?
It's going good. They play they won down in New York last week, and they play New York on Saturday. I'm pumped up. Play New York here. I'll be here, and then if they win, if they advance in that game, they'll be going to the Cup.
Do you come down to New York to play with the Red Bulls?
They played the Red Bulls last weekend. They come up here this weekend. No. I didn't go down there because I had Pat's duty with the Lions last week. So,
all right, I gotta get to some expert advice tokens on FF Champs. So, what do you say we wrap this puppy up? All right. Kevin Collins, final words. What do you
got? Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Anthony Grace.
Thanksgiving. Best holiday of the year. Football and food. Have fun, everybody.
On behalf of Kevin Collins, Anthony Grace, I am Bill Enright. Happy Thanksgiving. Best of luck in week 13. Have fun. Stay safe. And go win some fantasy football last regular season game. Good luck to everybody.
Good luck.
Thanks for listening to FF Champs on Patriots.com Radio. Bill and Anthony are back live every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time to answer all of your fantasy questions. Log on anytime to Patriots.com to download our latest FF Champs podcast, available after every show. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of Fantasy Football Champs.